Hey, welcome to the List Film Podcast. Bam, got it right. The first time.
Third time.
For the new listeners, we're a weekly podcast where we pick a topic, a film topic, and then we list and discuss our top five films, you know, apropos to that topic. And should we start talking about what did anybody have a hard time with this topic?
Wait, did you say what the topic was?
Well, the topic is top five martial arts films. Right? Yeah. Would that be correct? Any type of fighting, wrestling, boxing, arm wrestling.
That's what I had trouble with. I just went
martial arts, like kung fu, karate.
I went all over the place.
I did too.
Yeah. But today we have a guest that is linked to the topic in hand. You want to introduce yourself?
Hello, my name is Jonathan Lipnicki, and I am an actor. And I guess I go with this topic because I train in martial arts, so I think that's what you mean.
And what's the martial arts you're doing?
I'm a purple belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and I've been doing Muay Thai for a few months now, although I'm terrible. Terrible.
So you're a beginner in Muay Thai.
Muay Thai, yeah.
Muay Thai.
Yeah.
Muay Thai.
Yeah.
Huh. I've never heard of that one before.
Rolling the bamboo on your shins yet?
No, I haven't done that yet.
Okay. Because that looks like the fun part of that.
Oh, yeah. That's totally the fun part.
Where you get to break down trees like Van Damme?
No, we're like, because the Muay Thai boxing is the one like Sagat in Street Fighter.
Oh,
yeah,
those
are shorts.
Okay,
yeah,
yeah.
Really strong shins. Okay. And so they rub the bamboo against their shins to strengthen their shins.
Yeah, yeah.
Right on. Once upon a time, I did a bunch of different martial arts, but I grew out of it. That's about the time I stopped watching.
Grew out of it.
Yeah, I was like, I don't like this anymore. This isn't cool. I want to just hang out and do nothing.
I'm too lazy for this.
Yeah, I don't want to exert myself.
All right. So that's cool.
How long have you been doing jiu-jitsu?
About, I would say, 4 years.
Four years,
yeah.
Cool.
And, I mean, I love it. It's totally, it's therapeutic for me, and it's a great thing to have in my life, especially since I'm an actor and there's so many things I can't control. I feel like doing a martial art, you know, you can control, you keep doing it, you keep getting better, you keep progressing. And acting, I mean, you can control to a certain degree as far as getting better, but, I mean, getting jobs, you definitely have no control over that.
So, in the martial arts world, what is purple belt? Like, where does that, what level
it's,
is that?
It's kind of like, it's kind of like the drop off point for Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. People, you know, get their white belt and then it cuts off a little more, and like some people get their blue, and then a lot of people just drop off before purple.
Okay.
It's really that point that it's like, okay, you've got this belt, you're kind of on your, you know, en route to being a black belt.
Oh, that's really cool.
Is that the next one, black?
It's brown and then black.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, I would say probably without a doubt the biggest accomplishment I had in my life so
wow.
far.
Wow.
I mean, I almost cried when I got it, but, you know, I was in a room full of really scary people, so I'm not going to necessarily cry in front of my teammates, but I was like, I mean, it's something you work your ass off for, and you get beat up every day, and finally, you know.
Yeah, I have another friend who, I don't really talk to him about it, but he does Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and I always see him, he's always beat up. Like, he's always got a bloody lip.
Yeah.
He's got, like, a little limp. And I'm like, what happened? He's like, oh, just, you know, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And I'm like, wow.
I cut my eyelid open earlier this year.
Wow.
And that was even during wrestling, because I do wrestling also. And I was faced off with one guy, and he went to go grab my shoulder, and it just was right above my eyelid, like, just sliced and bloody, and it was gross. And I tweeted the picture, actually, on Twitter, which is at JLipNicki for those of you listening.
Yeah.
Please follow me.
On the Twitter.
On the Twitter.
Yeah. So that's crazy, dude. So how does that, you know, since you are an actor, how does that affect? Does your agent ever say, hey, you guys, you can't be doing this or anything?
I got my manager to start Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Really?
He thinks it's cool so far, so.
Well, that's cool.
You know, he was at first, he's like, it's a little weird rolling with men, but, you know, that's my imitation of him. But, I got him into it. And it's one of those things where, I mean, you can, to a certain degree, you know, when I'm working, I'm going to either do privates or not train at all.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's my priority working. But. Yeah. I mean, it's good to have something like that. I mean, it toughens you mentally, physically, and I think it makes me a better actor, honestly.
Yeah. No, I could totally see that. Awesome. So, by the way, did anybody have a hard time with the list? I don't know if we talked about that already.
I did, only because I didn't know what was included in martial arts.
I think everything. I threw the whole net on everything, on fighting in general.
I kept doing that. And, okay, is boxing including? Yeah. Is wrestling included? And Ricardo's like, yeah. Is this included?
A martial art of
kind of.
I mean,
but still, when I hear martial arts, the first thing I think of is the opening credit sequence from that Chuck Norris movie, Forced Vengeance.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, you know that? Where it's silhouette in China, and you see him just kick this guy's ass, and it's all in silhouette. That's not on my list, but that's the first thing that comes to my mind when I think martial arts movie. Chuck Norris in silhouette beating up this dude, and the two women on the side just watching.
Well, then let me ask the question of everybody. Kevin, what do you think when you hear the word martial arts?
I think of kung fu films. I think of sword fighting films, samurai, pretty much anything that involves like hand-to-hand combat.
And Jonathan?
I think my mind goes to kung fu, but, you know, that's definitely, not to spoil it, but there's no kung fu on my list.
Nice. So, yeah, that was really cool.
Definitely. I went all over the place for the list also, so.
Nice. And Jenny, what did you think? You were just like
karate. The place. Yeah, I'm all like Karate Boy 1, Karate Kid 2, Karate Kid 3, Karate Kid 100.
Next Karate Kid.
Next Karate Kid. Yeah.
You could do nothing but Karate Kids.
I'm like, every Karate Kid movie.
You still need one more movie.
Well, no,
the remake.
Yeah, you got the remake. Oh, 1, 2, 3, right. Next Karate Kid, and then Jaden Smith
Which
Karate
it was,
Kid.
The next Karate Kid was a girl, and it was
Hilary Swank.
Hilary Swank, that's right.
Yep.
Oh, man. That's crazy.
That's what my list is.
Pat Morita. All right. Well, you guys want to get into it?
Let's do it.
Are we doing it?
Let's do it.
Let's talk about the streaming of the week. Any suggestions for Netflix? Do you guys have one?
I saw a thing that's on Netflix now. I don't have a review of it, so I don't know how it is, but I will let you guys know next time I see it. Hopefully I'll see it this week, but Being Elmo.
Documentary.
Documentary on the puppeteer that's been Elmo for ever since Elmo has been...
Introduced?
Born is what I was going to say, but that's not right.
That's a long time.
So it's like his... journey of going to schools and like all this stuff as
and
being
he's
Elmo.
He's a large black man.
Yes, yeah. That's true.
So that always.
Think about Elmo's voice for a second and then put that on a black man's
like
body.
Imagine Michael Clark Duncan doing the voice
right.
of Elmo.
It's good. so there's that.
And then one of my movies is actually on Netflix streaming. So I'll mention it when we get to it.
Awesome then. All right. So that's the Netflix recommendation of the week, which is
Being Elmo.
Being Elmo. It's like being John Malkovich.
Yeah.
It's exactly like being John Malkovich, but with Elmo.
Right when I said that, Ricardo goes,
Elmo.
What's that about? He thought I was joking when I told him Being Elmo was a movie.
I thought it was an episode of Sesame Street or something. I was like, I don't want to do that. Yeah. All right. Well, we always have guests pick whether they want to go first or last. Johnny was brave enough to go, fuck it, I'll go first. And I don't know if I said this to you. You can curse. You can say whatever you want.
Oh, okay.
So
cool.
You're good to go.
Good. So yeah, curse up a storm. I said ass, and I was like, I don't know, but I think they allow. Don't they allow ass on most things? Anyway?
Yeah. Ass, balls,
Yeah.
Fuck. We're
good.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then take it away. Start off with your number five.
Okay, hold on. Let me get the list out. Okay. Put this in order in my mind. I think number five. Should I do honorable mention first?
No, do five, and we'll do honorable mentions at the end.
Five, I'm going to have to go with The Fighter.
Ah, that's on my list, too.
Yes, loved it. I thought that Mark Wahlberg's performance in that was just so... I mean, it was just so good because it was just so natural, and I was just super impressed with him. And, of course, Christian Bale, but I think that Mark didn't get enough.
No, I think... Well, for me... Christian Bale stole the show.
Yeah.
And you kind of forgot about Mark Wahlberg. Like, you know, you didn't really pay attention to him.
And it really worked with the story of the two brothers. Where, like, that was the whole
theme.
Dickie overshadowed him. And it played out perfectly. And Mark Wahlberg wasn't lost in it. I think he was just in the role. They both did a really good job.
I mean, it was amazing because people were saying, you know, Christian Bale's. I'm like, yeah, but I mean, he needed that Mark Wahlberg to be able to do what he did.
Yeah. It's even harder sometimes to be the straight man, you know?
Exactly.
Where he had to be like, okay, you're basically going to take the lead and I'm going to just kind of be the quiet guy. And it worked. He is pretty good. This is one of his better, one of my favorite roles of his besides Boogie Nights.
Everyone in that cast was fantastic. Even Amy Adams was really good in it. And wasn't Melissa Leo the mom?
Yeah.
In it?
She won the Oscar.
And the sisters. The sisters.
And the sisters. Yeah, the whole thing. Yeah. I loved every character loved in that movie.
Wasn't one of the sisters Conan O'Brien's sister? Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Real life sister, yeah. I didn't know that.
Was she a ginger?
Yeah, she is.
I can say that because I'm a ginger.
Yeah, it's allowed. It's not.
I'm not. I was gonna say I say ginger all the time.
I know. I'm just kidding.
I do. <too.
laughs> Why did you look at me? Okay. Yeah. The fighter's actually my number four.
Oh. Okay.
Nice. So you stole it from me. Thank you a lot.
Yeah. Jeez. Totally.
Yeah. So, what is your number five then?
All right. My number five surprise face was actually Karate Kid. I did it. I put it on there.
The original.
The original. Nice. The very original. What year? 1984. The original Karate Kid, yeah. I love it. You can watch it still today, being in your 20s and 30s for whatever, and fucking love it. I love it. Everything about it. It just puts a smile on my face.
It's an honorable mention for me.
Or the Karate Kid.
Yeah.
It had been like, I guess more it's a nostalgic thing, you know?
It just has like such a good lesson, you know?
It's
such it's a movie that's like it's a family movie that is like really good.
Right. Well, I don't know. For more... The only reason it's just an honorable mention on mine is just for the martial arts. I'm like, I just want like badass, kick-ass martial artists. And Daniel-san isn't exactly like I'm not worried about getting in a fight with Daniel-san. I'm not gonna lie, I'd probably sweep the leg.
Yeah,
would you?
I would do it.
Wow,
Cobra Kai all the way.
See, it's funny because I remember as a kid, I wouldn't really root for Daniel. I'd root for Johnny. You know?
Come on, Johnny.
I'd be like, yeah, he's got the cool black gi without the sleeves.
I actually got a black gi for
No way.
And so everyone was always joking that I put him in a body bag, Johnny. Because like, I had this all black gi, and then it shrunk in the wash.
Aww.
You got to get another one now.
I know, yeah. I do. I really do. Because I think black and purple would look
That's
great.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then you got to get a cobra on the back.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's actually now they have a MMA gym that's called Cobra Kai.
Really?
Yeah.
That's badass.
That's just
I want to
cool.
just join just
to just be like, yeah, train. Yeah.
Only
Cobra
assholes
Kai.
Go to train there. It's just, to go
why,
pick on kids.
Why was it that the Cobra Kai were all jerks? Like, there wasn't a guy who was like, there wasn't anybody in the Cobra Kai who was like, guys, seriously, let's give this geek a
No.
It was like, no.
They were all like, Aryan asshole. picking on this ethnic kid.
Italian kid.
Yeah.
It's true, dude.
Yeah.
And when they were dressed up like skeletons, that scared me. That gave me nightmares when I was a kid.
Because
I was like, I was one when this came out. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought Ghost knew karate. Like, these guys are
okay.
Karate
wait.
Chopping.
Okay, you thought Ghost could rape women, and then you thought Ghost knew karate. Ghost fucking fucked your shit up, dude.
I know, man. Yeah.
Oh, that's trouble.
Okay.
And
hey,
this is another series where I only had the second one. I didn't have Karate Kid growing up. I just had Karate Kid 2.
Oh, really?
So you didn't know? I mean, you knew one existed, but you had never.
I had seen one, but growing up, like I never went back to one. I always just watched Karate Kid 2.
Yeah.
Really.
And for some reason, I really liked Karate Kid 3.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why.
I don't know, dude. That's weird.
Yeah, that is weird.
I'm not even sure I've ever seen Karate Kid 3.
That's the one with...
I'm trying to remember, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the Vietnam buddy
Thomas
of...
Ian... No, wait. Oh, what's his name?
Hold on. He played the vampire in
Vampires. Yeah, the vampire in John Carpenter's Vampires. Yes. And he's just...
And he was really creepy, I remember.
Yeah.
And then they had that They had the guy who was the bad guy in it was an actual... he was like big in like karate world, I think. I'm not sure. I may maybe be making this up. But anyway, good choice.
Yeah,
and,
five.
You know, maybe we could get Billy Zappa.
Yeah, it is Thomas Ian Griffith. I was right. Thomas Ian Griffith plays the friend, the bad guy.
Who was Martin Covey,
I don't know, is John Kreese.
Yeah.
He was in the leader of the Cobra Kai in the first one.
And then he came back for three.
Yeah. And then he's also one of the bad guys in Rambo 2.
That's right.
Yes.
He's a chopper pilot who leaves Rambo.
Yeah.
Dick, man. Dick in all the movies, dude. All right.
There's a music video with all the Cobra Kai in it. I think it's called Sweep the Leg Johnny. And all they got
really?
They got all the Cobra Kai and Kreese to be in it.
That's great.
And it's like all of them gathering in this trailer where they've just like their lives have completely fallen apart after that match. I don't remember the name of the band, but I think it's called Sweep the Leg Johnny.
Wow. Wow. So I forgot to do the who we are. in the intro of the thing for the new listeners. So Johnny went first, then it was Jenny talking. Mm-hmm. I'm Ricardo. Then you have
Kevin,
and I'm Adam.
There we go. Just in case you were lost. So my number five. This is Ricardo's number five. I picked 1985's American Ninja.
Nice. Honorable mention. I just went on like a little Michael Dudikoff binge.
Michael Dudikoff was amazing.
But okay, but did you watch this movie before you put it on the list just now?
Yes, I did.
Because I rewatched Avenging Force. Not Forced Vengeance, the Chuck Norris movie. Okay. I actually did them back to back. I watched Avenging Force with Michael Dudikoff, and then I watched Forced Vengeance with Chuck Norris.
Wow.
Doesn't quite hold up.
Avenging Force doesn't?
Avenging Force doesn't quite hold up.
Okay. But the Chuck Norris movie does.
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember that one more vividly. I've seen that one more repeatedly than I've seen Avenging. I haven't seen Avenging Force since USA Up All Night, which ended in like 1998.
Well, tell me about Avenging Force. Isn't it the one where
it's him and it's Steve James, the black guy from American Ninja. Except like Steve James is running for Senate, and Michael Dudikoff comes to like hang out with him because they're old buddies, and then. This group called the Pentangle, it was like a white supremacist group. Again, the white supremacists, Cobra Kai, the Pentangle, they're just everywhere.
Yeah.
They're trying to stop him. And so like they shoot up him in the middle of this Mardi Gras parade. And so Michael Dudikoff has to go undercover and figure out who the members of the Pentangle are. And they like, it's also kind of like surviving the game. They hunt humans.
Oh, I think so. Doesn't one of them have a mask?
Yeah. That he wears? A bunch of them have masks.
I know exactly what this is. Yeah. I know what movie this is. They use a bow and arrow. No, at one point.
Yeah. He gets a bow and arrow. That's one of the best scenes. They shoot Michael Dudikoff in the leg with the bow and arrow, and he's on the roof of a house and he falls off, but it's these dummies. He's holding a kid in his arms when they do it. And they just drop these two dummies off the roof of this house.
American Ninja is great. I love it. It kind of was kind of the introduction of Michael Dudikoff, because that's when he started doing all the martial arts movies.
Yeah,
because he actually didn't know any martial arts. A little trivia there. No, he learned for American Ninja. Then he actually picked it up for other movies because he kind of got stuck in that little, you know, he got what's that word?
Typecast.
Yes. Damn it.
I would have accepted pigeonholed.
Pigeonholed,
also.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good word, too. he got typecast as the karate guy in the 80s. But I love American Ninja. It's exactly the synopsis. It's kind of like Snakes on a Plane. The title of the movie is like the synopsis of the movie. Like, it's an American Ninja. That's it. That's all you need to know. And he's this guy named, first of all, his name is Joe Armstrong. Which is just a weird name. Like some guy named Joe Armstrong. And he's in the army. But
I don't understand why that's a weird name.
Where's the weird part?
It's just a random. First of all, this is why it's so weird, because he doesn't know if that's his real name. He just got.
I don't remember.
He doesn't know his. Remember, he has amnesia and he doesn't know his past. And I'm like, well, why would he?
How can
he be John Doe?
How can you be in the army if you don't know who you are?
They're like, we accept anyone. It's whatever. Yeah.
It's the 80s. It's okay. And he doesn't know, and then and like the his superior does, he's like, check his files, who's this kid? And they're like, there's no record of this guy. And it's like, well, how did he get in the army?
I didn't rewatch American Ninja because I just remembered as a kid I liked Avenging Force more, so I figured if one of his movies was going to be on this list, it would have been Avenging Force. So I don't remember American Ninja as much, and I feel like I liked American Ninja 2 more than American Ninja.
No, I like American Ninja 4.
Did you rewatch them both? Is he even in that one?
Yeah, because, okay, so American Ninja 1 and 2 is Michael Dudikoff. Then 3 is Bradley something. His name, I forgot his last name, Bradley something. And then they both came back for part 4, and they double-teamed this thing, dude.
I remember that.
And they fought an army of ninjas.
I remember seeing the box for that with both of them on it. Was Steve James in the fourth one?
No, I think he...
Had he died already?
Passed away, already, yeah. Got sad all of a sudden, dude. Why'd you have to mention that he passed away, man?
He passed away really early. It's been a while. I think you've had like 20 years.
Yeah, yeah. So that is my number five. And then actually, you were talking about Aryan Nation there. And there's a callback in my honorable mentions. Just remind me.
Okay.
Kevin.
Okay. So my number five comes from 1985, and it's The Last Dragon.
Damn you.
Wow.
Yeah.
You win there.
That's on my list.
Yeah, really?
Well, let me see. I don't remember what number it is. Hold on.
You actually put it on your list as well, Kevin? Adam?
Yeah, it's on my list.
Wow.
It's my number three.
Oh, nice.
And this is a guy who was, he's obsessed with like Bruce Lee, right?
Well, yeah, he's obsessed with Bruce Lee. His name is Bruce Leroy.
And I believe the official title is Barry Gordy's The Last Dragon.
Yes, wow. Barry Gordy's The Last Dragon. That's right.
The one thing I learned from this movie based on that is like, so does Barry Gordy not like Cyndi Lauper? Because that one character is really indicative of Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah, she is.
And she's not portrayed in a very, very positive light. Yeah. So I just feel like Barry Gordy didn't like Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah. That's a good choice. And then doesn't he dunk his head in the water and he's like, who's the master?
Who
is? And that's how he gets the glow.
That's right.
And it has one of the best villains ever. Come on, Shownuff.
Shownuff.
Shownuff. Yeah. Who's the prettiest? Shownuff.
Who's the baddest?
Shownuff.
I like the club they go to, and the club is like showing Bruce Lee clips.
Yes.
I'm like, I want to go to the club.
Well, she does that for him.
I thought clubs were like that when I was a kid. I'm like, I want to go to a club because they play Bruce Lee stuff on the wall.
It was called Seventh Heaven. I remember far too much about this movie.
Yeah.
I love this movie. This is one of the movies I watched all the time.
This is one of the, probably, I didn't watch a lot of martial art films growing up, but this is one of the ones that I remember replaying throughout my life.
And Vanity is in it as Laura Charles.
Yep.
Yeah.
Was it for real or was it like a funny movie?
It was unintentionally funny.
I don't think they meant to be as funny as they were.
Yeah, okay. I don't think so either.
Ernie Reyes Jr. is in it as a little kid.
And he's awesome. Kicking ass in it.
He's just always awesome.
Yeah.
Like this, Red Sonja,
Ninja Turtles.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2.
Yeah.
Surf Ninjas. Which is an honorable mention.
All right. So that's your number five, Kevin, and your number
three,
Adam. All right.
Okay.
So what is your number five?
My number five is Lone Wolf McQuade.
Oh, man. That's my honorable mention, dude.
It's on
streaming, by the way.
I know. That was my streaming of the week that fits to the category. Yeah. Lone Wolf McQuade. I just watched it again.
And it's Chuck Norris and David Carradine, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, what else?
Chuck Norris, David Carradine in
did
a...
Did you just spill that?
Yeah.
I just spilled my water on my keyboard.
Technical difficulties.
Got it.
Safe?
Yeah, we're safe.
Okay. It's a martial arts western. And they totally rip off Ennio Morricone's music from Once Upon a Time in the West.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. It's cheesy. And like I remember at one point, the hospital he takes his daughter to is the Eastwood Hospital.
He does.
It's Chuck Norris. If they had not made him talk so much, like I feel like they didn't make him enough of the man with no name constraint character.
The silent type.
He talks too much. Yeah. If they had taken away some of it, they had LQ Jones there.
Yeah.
He could have done all the talking.
Yeah.
I love LQ Jones. He could have done all the talking, and then Chuck Norris could have just been the strong silent type, and it would have been a perfect movie. But he talks too much, and there's a little bit too much of a convoluted relationship with like his daughter.
Yeah, and my favorite thing of the movie, besides the kicking ass, is his vehicle. I wanted that Ford Bronco with the nitrous.
Yes, where he digs himself out of a grave.
Yes,
with his car.
They bury him in like a grave. They bury his car. And he digs his way out with the nitrous.
After he cools himself off with a beer.
Oh my god.
It's just such the ultimate. Like, it's... Okay, this I think sets the tone for my movies. Because these are all martial arts movies, but very American martial arts.
Yeah.
So he cracks a beer, pours some on his head to cool himself off.
Takes a
sip, and then drives out of this underground grave that he's been buried alive in.
And without any, like, struggle whatsoever.
And he's been shot.
He was buried alive with his car?
Yeah, well, so they kind of, like, put his car into a grave that's already dug, and then they get a
bulldozer.
Bulldozer.
And they cover it.
Why did they put his car in there?
Because he's a good guy, and there were bad guys.
Oh.
Duh.
Because it was in the script.
Right.
That's why they did it. It's such a great movie. And that last fight scene between Chuck Norris and David Carradine. They refuse to have stunt doubles. Like, no, we got to do this.
Yeah.
That's
awesome.
Yeah.
They're both very badass guys.
Yeah.
They're very, like, showy.
Very showy.
There was a lot of, like, just, like, not fighting. And I think there's more them, like, showing off than there is fighting.
Chuck Norris has a lot of spins, I've noticed.
Yeah.
Like, spinning hammer fists.
Yeah.
He knows what he's good
at. He does.
He does. He's good at it.
Chuck Norris was in the 80s was just badass, man. Like the Delta Force was amazing. With Lee Marvin.
Lee Marvin. That's another. The only thing.
I'm going to save that for a different topic.
Lee Marvin?
No, the Delta Force.
I would have loved to have seen Chuck Norris and Charles Bronson in a movie together.
Oh, man.
Oh.
That would have been a sight to see.
With Charles Bronson as a bad guy.
Just weird badasses who shouldn't talk a lot.
Yeah. Just like staring down and just like
yeah,
hitting the crap out of each other.
Yeah.
So that is your number five.
That's my number five.
Excellent. Johnny, take us to your number four.
Number four, I'm going to have to go with Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat.
Nice.
Well, one?
One.
They, wow. Did they get to three?
They got to three. I think three was animated.
Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
But to me, there's only one.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
There's only one.
Once Christopher Lambert was out of the picture, I didn't
see it. There's only one. I think that's a must-see growing up.
I'm sorry. I just realized that.
What?
You were saying there's only one, and I said once Christopher Lambert was out of the picture, there can only be one. Yeah. He is the Highlander.
He's a Highlander. That's right.
There you go. Sorry. Yeah. Continue.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that was, I think, the first martial arts film I loved. I thought Johnny Cage was the coolest guy ever, especially when he punches the guy with the multiple arms. And
that's
the
right. Goro. Kano.
Goro.
Kano was the guy with the eye, right?
Yeah.
That's right.
And I just, I mean, it made me want to get, because I think he had, like, aviator sunglasses in it.
Yeah,
and
he
I
did.
Thought that was the coolest thing in the world.
And he was a movie star, too.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So. He's like, he's an actor, but he kicks ass in tournament tonight.
Exactly. Probably that's why he's my hero, so.
And actually, did you see that they redid it as a web series just recently?
The one with Michael Jai White?
Yeah.
Oh, who I love, and I feel
did
bad.
You check it
Blood
out?
And, Blood and Bone, I saw Michael Jai White in recently. It was like... some crazy film had like Kimbo Slice in it.
Oh, I saw the trailer for that.
Yeah. Someone gave me that at the gym recently. Like, you need to check this out. And it was enjoyable.
Yeah,
it's enjoyable.
Yeah. They redid Mortal Kombat as a web series, and because they're thinking of doing the remake of the movie. Mm-hmm. And the web series is pretty decent. They got Michael Jai White. As
Black Jax, I think.
Black Dynamite.
I love that movie. That's an honorable mention. I'm going with older, like the movies that I loved when I was during the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
So Black Dynamite is not going to be on this list, but I love that movie.
Yeah. And Mortal Kombat had they brought back the ninjas again, yeah. I felt, with like Scorpion and Sub-Zero.
Yeah. Right? Oh, yeah. Love that.
And Reptile. Yeah. They had some pretty cool fights in that movie.
Was he in the first one?
Yeah.
Who?
He was in
Reptile?
Oh, yeah, when they go to the other world. Yeah, I remember now.
Yeah.
And
two got really cool.
That's not Jason Scott Lee, is it? As Liu Kang?
No. No. Yeah, the guy from Beverly Hills Ninja. I forget his name. He's actually, he was really good in it, I thought. Though I think Jason Scott Lee would have been much
Robin
better.
Shue? Is that his name?
Yeah, I think that's it. And, Christopher Lambert as Raiden, that was pretty badass.
Loved that.
Yeah. And the guy who played, he always plays a villain in all the Asian movies.
All the Asian cinema movies. They didn't even have to be Asian movies. He's a villain in The Phantom, too.
Yeah. What's his name? He's amazing. He played
Hiroyuki Tagawa.
Yeah. Well,
Hiroyuki.
Who was the main villain in the Mortal Kombat series?
Shang Tsung.
Shang Tsung or something. I used to say Shang Tsung. I don't know if that was true or not. But that's a cool pick. Directed by...
Paul W.S. Anderson.
I know. Not the Paul Anderson that we love. It was the other Paul Anderson. But yeah. So,
Brigitte
good pick.
Wilson is Sonya Blade.
That's right. Before the Sampras.
My brother... I enjoyed this movie, but my brother killed it for me because he had the soundtrack and he would play it all the time. And I can only take hearing that
Mortal Kombat! Dun, 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 dun,
Mortal, so many times before I just wanted to kill myself.
So our college did Mulan right before I left as a musical. And it was like a summer series, summer stock kind of thing. And the, what do you call it? The set designer, I guess. He just like Googled pictures of dragons to put on a flag.
Wow.
And he ended up finding the picture of Mortal Kombat and didn't know it was a picture of Mortal Kombat.
God,
and
awesome.
So in the background of Mulan are these like Mortal Kombat
that's
dragons.
So awesome.
Everyone's like, everyone notices, but him is the most ridiculous thing. We're like, oh my God.
So you must be really into Mortal Kombat. No, why? No.
He's like, what's Mortal Kombat?
That's awesome. Cool number. Okay. That's your number. That's Jonathan's number four. Jenny?
Yes. Oh, my number four was The Fighter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So
let's talk about it again. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, my number four is Hard Times. Charles Bronson.
Mm.
Put in jail. And he lets his fist do the talking.
he should usually let his fist do the talking.
Yeah. It's Walter Hill and it's James Coburn as like the basically it's he's not in prison. What am I thinking? There's like this James Coburn is like this grifter, kind of like con man, mm-hmm. and he gets Charles Bronson to fight for him. He becomes his fighter, and they kind of do street fights. I was thinking of another movie. Sorry about the prison thing. Sorry. went to the dark place there. No, Hard Times. It's kind of like what the Van Damme movie was. Lionheart. It's very Lionheart-ish.
Okay.
James Coburn plays the con man.
James Coburn's the black Coburn, guy.
Yeah. He's kind of like his buddy. And yeah, exactly. And at one point, like, he loses all their money, and, you know, he sticks by him. But basically, it's street fighting with Charles Bronson. That's all you need to know. He's not wearing a shirt for most of it, so he's just kicking ass. Hey, so, if you're into Charles, what was that?
I don't know.
You're like Charles Bronson with a shirt on. Hey, yeah. So that's my number four, Charles Bronson. Bronson
without a shirt on.
Doing his letting his fist do the talking. Kevin.
Okay. My number four is from 2003, and it's Ong Bak.
Ooh.
I love Tony Jaa on this, and how the fact that he does all his own stunts, and I mean, you have him doing these like amazing flips and just these awesome fight moves, and he just performs it so flawlessly and makes it and really turns it into this beautiful art form. And that's just why I love this movie, because he's not a huge guy, but you see him just doing these great moves to take down these big guys, and it just looks awesome, and it makes you want to do Muay Thai, because that's what he does is Muay Thai nice. Fighting.
And I remember seeing this with you, and there's that long-ass shot where he's like looking for something. I forgot what he's looking. He's looking for an elephant or something. What is he looking for? Isn't he looking for an elephant?
No, he's looking for a Buddha. It's a head of a Buddha.
I thought it was an elephant. Wasn't an elephant his mode of transportation or something?
There was an elephant. Yes, okay. There's an elephant in it.
There's an elephant involved. Okay.
It's Thailand. There's an elephant.
Okay. And then he's going through this like build like floor by floor to get to this like bad guy he's looking for, and it's a one take shot.
Yeah.
And he goes through like three or four floors, and it's a continuous shot. Of him just kicking ass.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. Like how, I wonder how many takes it did of it. Cause at one point, like he throws people off like one floor, but they land another. And then he himself gets thrown to another, but the camera kind of follows him. And it's crazy ass, like take. And it's amazing.
Yeah. It makes it seem just flawless.
I don't know why I haven't seen it yet. Cause it does look really good. I just, again, I, for some reason, just kind of stopped watching martial arts movies.
Yeah.
But I've been meaning to watch this. It was on Netflix for a little while.
Yeah.
I don't know if it still is.
Yes, it is. It still is.
Okay.
It's in my
and that's
Netflix
one
queue.
I need to watch, too.
Yeah.
I agree. We'll watch it together.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. The humor is very old humor, yeah. And just the things that they get a laugh out of is pretty awesome, and then the fighting is just amazing.
I feel like they just got our 80s movies
there. That's exactly what it is.
And they're like, whoa, we just found out this crazy guy named Van Damme. And they're like catching up to us. But no, it's a really cool movie. And didn't he disappear for a while? And then actor?
Yeah, he did the Protector. He's done like 3 Ong Bak films.
That's right. Didn't he go like? Didn't he like go missing with it? Where he would like?
I don't know.
I read something like that. Where he like got all diva'd out and he's like, I'm out of here. And then he was gone for like a year. I think that's what I read. Anyway, that's what I heard.
Okay,
your number four.
My number four, 1988, Bloodsport.
Dude, why did you do that to me, dude? That's my number one.
I knew that was going to be your number one.
I was going to be my next
one. All right, let's all talk about it.
Boom,
we all have it in our
that
list.
Just happened. So when I was growing up, I did like 4 different styles of karate. And each different school that I went to, we would always at some point end up watching Bloodsport. I love this movie. It was the first Van Damme movie that I saw, like his first major starring role. What, like after No Retreat, No Surrender?
Where you did the splits on the ring?
Yes.
Yeah.
Dude. And I just, this movie is just so ingrained in my mind. Like just Kumite, Kumite, yeah. Kumite. Van Damme doing the splits. You got Bolo Young. Donald Gibb as like the random guy that you have no idea why he's like the biker fighting in the Kumite. He's like, how did he even get there?
He fights with sweats on.
Yeah. Sweats and the headband.
And then the guy, the crouching guy, who's like doing, I don't know if it's capoeira, the guy's.
The monkey?
The guy who's jumping around.
Yeah, the monkey fighter. He just, and then I think he ends up going down fighting Bolo Young, who I think his name was Chung Lee, which always confused me as a kid because I just would think Chung Lee from Street Fighter.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, why does he have a girl's name? I was really confused.
No, he didn't go down with him. Remember he fought another really big guy and he broke his back.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
And then
Van Damme beat him by hitting him in the nuts, which is kind of cheating.
No, it's Kumite. Anything goes, dude.
Really?
Yeah. Blood sport.
Okay.
Anything goes. No, but okay, what sticks out in everyone's mind when Bolo Young breaks that dude's fucking shin, when he snaps his shin and it comes out, the bone comes out of his leg.
That was crazy, dude.
That How did he do that? Me. That messed with me so bad.
I still don't know how they did that.
He really did it. He's like, yeah, no, that guy. He really did it.
They were not getting along.
He's like, bro, you're going to take one for the team. He's like, what do I have to do? He's like, well, you want your side card.
You'll find out.
We're going to have to break your shin, dude.
I don't know. I love this Van Damme movie still.
Yeah.
I always loved it more than Kickboxer.
Yeah, I did too.
And it's not as cheesy as...
It's not cheesy at all, I think.
It's not cheesy at all, but I mean, it's... He makes fun of himself. While I was doing my research, I found a video of him doing his impressions of Stallone and Schwarzenegger and Steven Seagal, and then he makes fun of himself in Bloodsport, talking about how crazy and over the top, like with some of the faces he's making when he loses, like when he gets the dust in his eyes.
Yeah, the dust in his eyes. Yeah.
He's talking about that.
I was going to mention that.
Though. Yeah, like he talks... So he's got a sense of humor about himself.
Yeah.
And then, like, I watched the trailer for Double Impact, which is really... I think that's probably the cheesiest trailer for a Van Damme movie ever. And it's amazing, though.
You haven't seen Double Team, then?
Oh, no, I have seen Double Team. No, but the trailer. Oh,
okay. Yeah, probably.
Wait, Double Team is the one with Dennis Rodman?
Yeah.
Okay. For some reason, I was thinking of the one with Rob Schneider.
Oh, that's Knock Off.
Knock Off.
Yeah, dude. Don't test me on my Van Damme.
I would never test you. I'm just saying I stopped going to Van Damme movies in theaters, like... At Street Fighter.
I never stopped.
No, you didn't stop. They stopped releasing his movies in theaters.
JCVD.
I still watch JCVD.
That was a great movie.
He's going to be in... Did you see JCVD, by the way, Jonathan?
What?
This movie called JCVD.
No.
I haven't watched it yet either.
It's like a fake...
He plays a fictionalized version of himself. Yeah. And it's really good.
Wow.
It's really... And it's not like him doing karate.
No.
It's like him just kind of unbearing his soul... Sort of, I guess.
Yeah, it is, dude. Like, seriously, like, I show it to friends, and I'm like, dude, he should have been nominated for an Oscar. And they're like, shut the fuck up. And I show them the movie, and there's this one monologue he gives that is amazing, and he's, like, bawling it, and you're like, fuck. Like, he kind of basically, like, and it's all in French, because it's Belgium.
Yes. The muscles Belgium. From Brussels.
Yeah. So the movie's in French and subtitled, and it's, I think... We lose something of Van Damme's when he does American, because that movie was amazing. And then I saw another movie he did after that, and I was like, what happened?
Universal Soldier, the new one, which didn't make any sense, where they brought Dolph Lundgren back. I'm like, I'm sorry.
He died in the first
one. Not only does he die, but spoiler alert, he gets chopped up in a fucking grain chipper.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing left. He's liquefied.
Yeah.
How does he come back?
Yeah. That's true.
Cloning.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Magic.
Now,
I like that one.
Do you remember that Forrest Whitaker is also in Bloodsport?
Yes.
Yeah. Forrest Whitaker is the guy chasing him, the American.
Yeah, you know, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Is this his first movie?
I don't think, no.
Forrest Whitaker's?
No.
Yeah. Oh, really?
So. Yeah. I don't think so.
He was already like in his late 20s, I think, in that.
I didn't know he did stuff when he was younger.
Yeah. Okay, what about when he, I think it's when he arrives, in China, and he's got a... San Francisco Giants jacket on and a New York Giants hat on. He just really loves Giants. Any kind of Giant. Doesn't matter which team it is. As long as they're Giants something, he loves the Giants.
Yeah.
Never noticed that. That's awesome.
You mean as a young kid, right?
What?
The young version of Van Damme?
No. In when he shows
really?
Up.
Really? I remember that.
When Frank Dukes gets to China for the Kumite, he's wearing two different Giants team's paraphernalia.
Well, I remember him wearing the leather jacket, and then he's got the like leotard underneath.
Yeah,
because he's always ready to kick ass.
Yeah, he's always
ready. And another thing I remember was the like 10-minute flashback when he's looking at the sword and he's hanging out.
Him as a kid protecting his master.
He goes to like a 10-minute flashback by just like looking at the sword. I love that. It's like literally she took that long to find out if the guy was home or not. And, they kind of explain, like, why he was trained by this guy.
Mm-hmm.
His son died, and spoiler alert,
If you haven't seen Bloodsport by now.
Yeah. He basically, the thing that sucked is that basically used Van Damme as a punching bag for his son. Mm-hmm. And then his son died and he's like, all right, I guess I'll train you.
After I torture you by stretching your legs apart with these trees.
Yeah. I thought that guy was Toshiro Mifune when I was younger for some reason.
I don't know.
It's not, but that's what I thought. But yeah, that is my number one. That is your number four.
Yes.
And that is your number three. Wow. So it is now the Jenny.
My number, what are we on?
Three.
Okay, sorry.
Adam fucked it up for all of us. Thanks a lot, dude.
Hey, Kevin took my number three, so I don't
think it's going to come right back else's. Around. All right, my number three is Kill Bill.
Honorable mention.
I put that one on there. Yeah. That was another one that I was like, I don't know if it fits, but I'm going to stand up for it.
Yeah, no, definitely honorable mention.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite
Volume one
movies.
Or two?
I put one because it's Crazy 88s.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
That's my favorite scene.
That is a crazy scene.
If we ever do best fighting scenes, that's going to be in my list, probably.
Spoiler alert.
I know. Thanks for telling us what's on your list.
You don't know what number, though. You don't know what number. It's going to be crazy.
No, that is a good movie. I prefer, you know, Volume 2 myself.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because it's more of a Western. And Westerns. Mm-hmm. And Part 1 is like the Kung Fu movie, and Part 2 is a Western.
Did you guys go to the Whole Bloody Affair when they did that at the
No,
movie?
No.
I
wish.
It was really good.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't get to go either. But
it was re-edited, right?
Yeah.
So it's one movie?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
Yeah,
cool.
They re-edited Volume re-edited. 1 and 2 together.
Wow.
Added footage.
And she doesn't find out that her kid's still alive till the end.
Wow.
In the re-edited version.
Yeah, when does she find out regularly?
Because Sophie tells her.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah. So at the end of Part 1, Sophie tells her.
That's right.
So, yeah, that's a cool pick.
That and that whole scene with Lucy Liu, where she cuts her in half. That's in the first one, too.
Well, that first fight scene with Vivica A. Fox.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
too.
That one, too.
And then the kid comes home?
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, honey, how's school?
Honey, mom. Mom has a friend over.
Yeah. that's a good one.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of Vivica A. Fox until Kill Bill. I'm like, wow, she's really kick ass. Yeah.
I loved her in Booty Call. I'm not even joking.
Really?
I loved her in Booty. I really liked Booty Call.
Wow.
I really like Tommy Davidson.
Tommy Davidson's amazingly funny. I like his Sammy Davis Jr.
Yes.
Impression. That is a cool number. Is it three?
Yeah, that's my number three.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he keeps saying that they're going to do a part three with the
little
girl.
Actually, when did they show the part where... Oh, that would be cool. When did they show the part where she's training? Is that in the first one or the second one?
That's
two.
In the second
part two,
one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
see, that part's cool too, though.
Pai Mei.
Let's just say all Kill Bill.
Yeah, the whole bloody affair.
The whole thing.
Because it's one movie. It's
just, it really is.
They're like, hey, we need some more scratch.
So we'll just go with Kill Bill every part.
Volume 1 and 2.
All right. I'll say that, I guess.
All right. My number three, I think I tied. Okay, yeah. My number three is actually, I cheated. It's actually two movies.
Okay.
Because I couldn't pick. They're both Bruce Lee movies. And it's Fist of Fury, which is Big Boss, and The Way of the Dragon. Is that in anybody's list?
No.
No, okay. I have because, a Bruce Lee film, but not those.
Yeah. Okay.
My problem with those is all the American title versus the Chinese title. I'm just always being confused. So I don't even remember which ones I've seen.
Okay. So The Way of the Dragon is a Chuck Norris one, where he fights Chuck Norris at the end.
I've seen that
one. In the Coliseum. And that's why I picked that movie, because he's fighting Chuck Norris, a young Chuck Norris with short hair, no mullet, just a mustache. No mustache. I'm sorry.
Just
no
the chest hair.
Chest hair.
Remember he grabs the chest hair and he pulls it away and he throws it out of his hand.
Yeah. So Chuck Norris with no mullet, no mustache or beard, just chest hair.
Yeah.
Versus Bruce Lee. It was a badass fight. And that's why I picked it, just for that fight. And my other one is, which is my favorite Bruce Lee movie, it's Fist of Fury, which is Big Boss. It's the one where he works at the ice factory with his cousins, and then they're the owner of the ice company is smuggling drugs in the ice. And then the end, the last fight where he fights the Big Boss. And it's pretty cool because he fights him, he beats him. And even though this guy's already killed half of his cousins and he smuggles drugs and he rapes women, they arrest Bruce Lee. Because he killed the other guy. the cops show up and they're like, all right, sorry. I mean, you helped us catch this guy, but we're going to have to take you in, bud. And they literally take him in. So cool ending. I mean, which would happen, hey, if you murder a guy.
Yeah, murder's murder.
Yeah. So that is my number three, which is Fist of Fury and The Way of the Dragon.
But it's confusing because Fist of Fury, and then they renamed one as Fists of Fury.
Yeah.
And then what, the big boss, was that the one they called The Chinese Connection?
Well, no, The Chinese Connection they have also referred to as Fist of Fury, but yeah, it's pretty much The Chinese Connection.
There's all these different titles that always confused me as a kid, because I've seen all of them at some point, but the only one Bruce Lee movie sticks out in my mind.
And
yeah. Game of Death.
the one
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah.
And the, true. Fact where they've got the scenes where they've got a paper mask over some other guy's face because Bruce Lee's dead.
Is that on your list, Kevin?
Game of Death?
Yeah.
No, it's something else.
Well, then we can talk about Game of Death. The fight with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is pretty amazing. We all could agree on that, can't we?
Just when he kicks, when he puts the footprint and it takes up all of Bruce Lee's torso.
It's from his neck to like
his belly button. It's ridiculous. Just like the iconic picture where you see Kareem Abdul-Jabbar standing over him, like head and shoulders above Bruce Lee.
Oh yeah,
just how much larger than. And then it makes me think of the videos, the home videos of Bruce Lee training Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and like Charlton Heston at his house in Hollywood back in the day. Just awesome. It was Bruce Lee. Bruce Lee's the man.
He's like, train me how to fight apes, Bruce. So that was my number three.
Okay, so now to my number three. And I first want to say, Jenny, because of Kill Bill, my number one and number three movie are on here. I actually got a membership to a video place called Eddie Brandt's because they have the rarest movies ever. And I just went on a huge just martial arts, kung fu film. And my number one and number three are because of Kill Bill.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Okay, so my number three is from 1982, and it's The Shaolin Temple.
Yeah.
It's Jet Li's first movie, and he's just, he's awesome. He's got the young cockiness, and he's very talented at what he does and when doing the acrobats and just doing all the fighting. He does a good job acting. He's you can definitely tell there's some growth that will eventually happen, but when he gets into the fighting scenes and just starts going at it, he does such a fantastic job as a very young Jet Li. I'll give you the plot. So it's the Tang Emperor is betrayed by one of his generals who installs himself as emperor in the East Capital and pretty much just starts killing people and taking women and raping them and doing whatever he wants. And along the way, he kills Jet Li's father and he gets help from the Shaolin monks who train him. But they teach him that you're not supposed to use this for vengeance. And you know what? Then Jet Li just goes out and goes on a vengeance spree and starts killing generals, guys, because you know now he knows kung fu.
Well, then monks never said anything about lying.
That's true. And technically, he's not a monk, so he can do whatever he wants. Yeah. They trained him; he can just do whatever he wants.
He's like Steven Seagal; he's above the law.
Exactly.
No, it's a good pick. I think I saw that with you, and I think I did. And Jet Li was awesome. I don't know what happened to him. He just stopped making movies, or
he was in the Expendables. And he's going to be in Expendables too.
He doesn't want to do any more. He stopped after Fearless. He stopped doing period kung fu period films.
That's right.
But I feel bad for not seeing more Jet Li movies. Like, just because the ones I've seen, he's really good. Like,
Remember Romeo Must Die?
Yes, I remember Romeo Must Die. He's a really excellent martial artist.
And, yeah.
Well, like I think the last one or the most recent of his I saw, I think was Hero.
Okay.
He's really good. I remember Kiss of the Dragon with Bridget Fonda.
Which one is that?
That's the
one
in Paris. With Checky Cairo.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of love that movie.
Yeah, I do too. Wasn't Luc Besson somehow involved in that?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah.
It's French and there's martial arts and fighting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure he wrote it. So that was your number three.
Yep.
And my number three was Last Dragon.
Okay, I'm going to have to go with the original Rocky.
Awesome.
Nice.
Not in my list. Honorable mentions, though. That's cool.
I just wasn't thinking boxing, but great
yeah,
pick.
I think that's the first thing I really saw that pumped me up. I mean, I just wanted to go out there and box.
Yeah.
And run lots of stairs.
Oh, yeah. And catch chickens.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, that's just always going to be a big part of my life. You know, I easily get drawn into movies like that. Even though people didn't like the recent one, I liked it.
I enjoyed it. Yeah.
Rocky Balboa was great.
Totally made up for Rocky V.
Totally. Far and beyond.
And for a while I had the box set, the 1 through 5. And then Rocky Balboa came out. I'm like, I'm good with just Rocky. and just Rocky Balboa.
Yeah.
That's all I need.
Well,
some people were telling me they didn't like it. I loved it.
I don't need it.
You got a lot of four, dude.
I do. Yeah. I do. It's Dolph Lundgren.
Four is like a really long music video.
Yes, and a really long music video. No, I mean, I
like
love them
all. Training in the snow.
Until they come out with special editions of all the other ones that are as good as a special edition of Rocky. I don't know.
Yeah.
That special edition of Rocky is pretty awesome.
It is.
Yeah. And Rocky is just such a good movie. And it's not even... It's funny because I think it gets overlooked because... It doesn't feel like a boxing movie.
Yeah.
It's like it's a drama. To me, it's a drama.
Yeah.
And first and foremost, before it's a martial. I mean, a boxing movie.
Mm-hmm.
But all the cast it has in it, you know, the Penguin. As I call him,
Burgess Meredith.
Yes, he'll always be the Penguin to me. And as his trainer is amazing. Yeah. And you know, it's kind of you forget that most of Stallone's good movies he wrote himself.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely.
He's a very good writer.
Yeah, he's a very good writer. And Cliffhanger, come on.
Yeah.
And but Rocky, I fucking love Rocky.
It's one of my all time favorites. Yeah, it's a really awesome pick.
Really good.
Apollo Creed, come on. Dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, now a lot of my friends actually for Jiu-Jitsu have those like American flag shorts.
That's awesome.
And I mean, it's. Started a craze, definitely.
Yeah, you got to wear top hats when they come out.
Yeah,
yeah. And
it always comes back to four.
Yeah, it always comes back to four. What did he wear? Oh, you know what? Oh, it's funny. This is a funny story. One of my friends, he works at the Sony lot, and he does. They make backdrops where he works at, and his boss put him in charge of cleaning out. You know, all the old backdrops, throw the ones that are old and they have holes or burnt or anything, toss them out. So this was a task that took him like a year. You know, he'd look at, see what it was. He opened them up because they're huge.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'd chuck them. Well, he found it all the way in the back of the warehouse. It's a huge warehouse. He found the big ass banners from Rocky One.
Wow.
Of Apollo Creed and.
Oh, awesome. Oh, like wow. The yeah. Illustrations of them.
Yeah.
Oh.
And
he kept them, right?
Well, he called Stallone's agent. And he said, we have these things, because they're so big, he couldn't take them home. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's like, we either got to toss them or, you know, somebody picks them up. And that's what he told his agent. And his agent said, let me call him. So Stallone calls him, and he says, I want him. I'm going to pick him up. And he showed up. Stallone showed up with, like, you know, his people with, you know, big old flatbed. And he took pictures with everybody because he wanted them. They didn't charge him for them or anything. But he was looking at them, and I guess he had realized at the time, but... He kind of remembered again that the shorts he's wearing are a different color.
Yeah, they're not the same.
They're
as
not the same color
as the
ones
during the match.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So that was pretty funny and a cool story. The fact that there it just the big ass banners were still there. So anyway,
that's awesome.
Rocky One. That's your number three.
Great, yes, great movie.
Two.
Yeah.
Two.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jenny.
All right, my number two. So I didn't get into martial arts and kung fu movies until I was a lot older because I just didn't really – same with Westerns. I just didn't really care for – I mean, I was a girl growing up. I
yeah.
had a sister. I didn't have a brother. So we just watched
– Rainbow Bright.
And right. Like and little, My Little Pony.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. No.
Babysitter's Club.
Right. Yeah. Come on. That's our shit.
Andre with the seal.
With Joshua Jackson was an Andre.
Oh,
he was, and, yeah. and so was the girl from Napoleon Dynamite.
Napoleon
Gina
Dynamite.
Yeah.
She's in Big Love. Isn't she in Big Love?
I don't watch that show. I don't know.
Damn you.
I was always more of a Monkey Trouble fan than Andre.
Who was in Monkey Trouble?
Thora Birch and Harvey Keitel.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I was obsessed with Thora Birch back in the day.
Yeah.
Me
I loved
too.
Her. Hell
probably
yeah.
for different reasons, though.
No, it's definitely not for different reasons. Same. All right. So my two favorite kung fu martial arts movies are actually, like, really recent. They're not, like, Jet Li or anything like that. And my number two is House of Flying Daggers.
Nice.
Wow.
It's,
that's pretty neat.
It's is it?
I mean,
is
for a girl, for a girl,
that's kind of sounded condescending.
Yeah.
No,
were
no,
you mocking?
No,
that?
No. Yeah. I meant that's pretty cool. The fact that
I think he,
yeah,
I think what he's trying like to say that. Is that a girl saying, "Oh, House of Flying Daggers." First of all, just knowing what that means, and you're saying that you like it is pretty neat. That's what
yeah.
I think he's trying.
I mean,
to say.
I'm pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, don't question my awesomeness.
Your awesomeness just went up a couple points. Your stock.
So yeah, this was like one of the first of that. type of movie that I'd seen. Because I know, I mean, I don't know if you would really classify Jet Li and what's other Lee? God
damn it. Bruce Lee.
Bruce Lee, thank you. If you would classify them as the same type of movie, but in my mind, they all like kind of fit together, I guess. I don't know. And so I didn't really watch any of those until after I'd watched these. Mm. And I love it. I could watch this one in my... I won't say my number one, obviously, now because I'm being dumb. But I would watch this like all the time.
I think the big difference for me is the fact that it took me a really long time to get into these type of movies because it's like a fantasy type of martial art. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. All the wire work and whatnot.
I just couldn't. I was literally kind of raised on the Bruce Lee, the Bloodsport. So it was just people just kicking ass.
I think that's why I did like these because I'm super into visual movies and it was visually like awe-inspiring.
Yeah.
No, every part of it. This is the one that has that bamboo forest, right?
Where
they're like, yes, that scene right there is fantastic. That right there made me love this movie.
Because of that scene. Great use of color.
Yes.
And the whole wire work, like the last martial arts movie I remember seeing in theaters was Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And like that whole just graceful, like, martial art ballet in the air. It's awesome.
And the storyline was really good too. It wasn't like one of those cheesy stories
from
like the 80s.
I've seen this one,
like,
but I don't remember what the story of House of Flying Daggers is.
Do you want me to read you the synopsis?
Sure. Oh yeah, we haven't read any synopses. I realized, but whatever.
Okay.
You can Google it.
Yeah, come on. Okay. A romantic police captain breaks a beautiful member of a rebel group out of prison to help her rejoin her fellows, but things are not what they seem.
Who else is in it? Tony? Isn't Andy Lau?
Andy Lau.
Yeah.
That main girl that's in like all those movies, Zia.
Zhang Zi.
Yeah, that one. And I don't.
She's the girl from Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, right? Mm-hmm. She's really good looking.
Yeah,
she has. Right. Okay.
She was in Rush Hour 2, right? Yeah.
She's good looking. I think she had some cool quota from remembering correctly, talking about how like film is forever. So always, you know, taking that into consideration in your preparation as an actor, that film is forever. So you got to do it. You just, you know, go all out or something like that. And I just remember it being really inspiring. She's awesome. And
no,
she's,
yeah.
She started really young too, didn't she?
She was like,
what, 17 in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've heard that quote in a different sort of way.
It's like celluloid is forever or something like that.
Yeah. Like,
something like that.
Basically, like you want your best stuff out there because it's going to be here forever, basically. Especially now with like digital age, like, you know, unless someone nukes us, your footage is going to be here forever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, totally. Good quote, good movie. That was your number two.
My number two.
Awesome. My number two, let me pull it up here. I think it is. Yes, it is. It's Red Belt.
I know. Put that on there.
Yeah. Is this in your list, Johnny?
No, but my Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu instructor is the cop who gets thrown.
Really?
Red Belt.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
That's my whole, like, I guess, Jiu-Jitsu family. The guy who choreographed it, Hinato Magno, is who gave my instructor his black belt.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
That's pretty neat.
So, close ties to that film. I think I have, like, a red belt, like, sweatband or something.
Really?
Yeah. Something like that.
But, so he was a cop that got...
The cop, you know, the cop, okay, when he's in the crowd and he's trying to protest it or whatever, and he's like, there's like a cop who goes to hold him back and he just judo throws him.
Yeah. Oh, that's him. That's pretty neat.
And it's funny because he looks so huge on camera and he's like really like 5'8", 165, but he looks just jacked, you know, gets thrown.
It's such it's a David Mamet movie.
Yeah.
And I love me some David Mamet.
David Mamet and martial arts together. With Chiwetel Ejiofor, however we say his name. Such a
Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Chiwetel. Badass. Badass movie.
And then you have Tim Allen.
Tim Allen, yeah.
Oh, I forgot he was in it.
Yeah, he plays Tim Allen.
But and evil.
Yeah.
Emily Mortimer?
Emily Mortimer and Ricky Jay's in it.
Well, it's a David Mamet movie.
Yeah. No, but it's such a good movie, and it's such a... I just dug it, and it's just so well made, and it's kind of like one of those movies that it's kind of silent a little bit, you know? It's slow.
That stillness that you like.
I love
always the stillness.
Yeah.
And just the end is like amazing. Like, I didn't expect, I was like, all right, he's going to like fight at the end. And the way they went about the fight, how it wasn't on the ring, like it was just amazing how they went about writing that movie and executing it. And the acting is amazing, I think. And it kind of also also too, kind of like, it's a good introduction to jiu-jitsu, yeah, I feel. Like, yeah. If you don't know anything about it, you watch this movie, you're like, okay, I understand kind mm-hmm. of like the tenets of mm-hmm. what they're going
and
for.
And I mean, with any movie, there's going to be discrepancies.
Oh, yeah, totally. You know,
but definitely it was, I mean, it was cool to see it because they have stuff in that, like the gi chokes that people do that mm-hmm. no one would think to put in a movie because you're like, what? They're like grabbing him and he's passing out. Like, I don't get it. But it's cool that they incorporated that.
Yeah.
Like the real jiu-jitsu, like gi moves where, you know, you choke someone and it's, you know, cutting off the carotid arteries or whatever.
Yeah. But, yeah.
I mean, that was cool to have that. You're right. Introduction to stuff that people hadn't seen.
Yeah. It was cool. Yeah. It was cool fight things. That
although Chuck Norris does some jiu-jitsu in,
really?
Was a Walker, Texas Ranger. He does because he's a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Really?
Yeah, under the Machado brothers.
Wow.
And he did like an armbar. I forget. Remember saying it where? But he did an armbar in something.
So since you are in this sport, what were the bad things that you saw in the movie? Like anything that was like, oh, that's not kind of how.
Okay, I don't know if I. The only thing I don't. Okay, I liked it, but I don't. The thing I didn't really agree with was the whole giving him the red belt after. I don't know. I just didn't really see the reason for it. I thought the movie stood on its own without the whole little red belt, you know, ceremony thingy at the end where he gives him the red belt.
Yeah, yeah. No, totally. That was kind of like its second ending. Like, to me, exactly. It ended when, like...
Like, I feel it should have just been, boom, done, end.
Yeah, like... then, you know? Yeah, he beat the top guy, and he beat him, like with no referee, just like, straight exactly. fighting. And he beat him, and that should have been in the end. Yeah. And but yeah, that was
that's the only thing that I'm kind of like about. But it, you know, it just enough to bug me a little bit.
No, but I enjoyed it, and it's a cool movie, well directed.
David Mamet studied jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, so did Al Bundy.
Yeah, he's a black belt.
Are you serious?
Ed O'Neill is a black belt.
I had no idea.
Yeah, there's videos of him training on YouTube.
Fucking
and stuff,
mock your ass while he's kicking.
Yeah. He's a big guy too. So I mean,
hit you verbally and physically.
Yeah,
seriously.
Who did he train under? Did he train under the?
I'm not sure. I'd have to check on that one. But I mean, it's a popular thing with a lot of actors
now. So if
now.
You have
Guy Ritchie's a brown belt, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
If you have, once you get your black belt, are you a black belt for life, or do you have to like continuously be training?
I mean, I don't know exactly. I think you continuously should train. I think it's kind of an honorary thing when you get it that you're one forever. But I mean, with jiu-jitsu, especially something that's such a high level of athleticism, your black belt's going to turn white really quickly. You're going to lose stuff. And I even see that when I don't train as much as I can. You know, before pilot season, I was like 4 or 5 times a week, twice a day sometimes, and just doing it. And I could see definitely a difference between now and then. And so I think it's one of those things with athleticism. You just got to kind of keep doing it, or you're going to be that black belt that everyone's kind of like, oh, he's a black belt, but he's not really a black belt.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I never want to be that guy in the gym that they're like, don't make him feel bad that he's a higher belt than you and don't beat him up too badly.
Oh. Yeah.
I never want to be that guy. I want to be the guy they're like, oh, he's good. He's solid. Hopefully.
Yeah, yeah. That's how I feel and what I've read about, because after this movie came out, I kind of read about, because I kind of thought of joining it, but I'm like, I don't want to get my ass kicked. I'm not going to do that.
I mean, the good thing is, like, it's one of those things where you're not getting directly punched in the face.
No,
I mean, sometimes
yeah.
accidentally things happen, but it's one of those things you can keep a day job and do. A lot of, you know, businessmen go where I go, and, like, you know, there's some cops and some other actors and stuff like that.
Nice. But, so it's kind of like what I was reading about Ed O'Neill is the fact that, like, he's, like, well-respected. In like the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu community, like he's like, no, he's genuinely ass kicker. You know?
Yeah,
I mean, like,
that's what my instructor was saying. He's like, yeah, he's good.
You know, he's like still good. He like still does it.
I mean, he's older now, but I'm sure he can still beat up the average guy pretty easily.
Yeah, I can see that.
Crazy Ed O'Neill just kicking ass.
I love him.
So that is my number two, red belt.
Okay. My number two is from 1972, and it's The Chinese Connection. So that's the Bruce Lee film I went with. And I love this film. It's just Bruce Lee taking vengeance for the fact that some Japanese guys killed his teacher. And I love the fact that it shows how much Chinese and Japanese people hate each other.
It's always fun to watch people clash over their differences. And now this is the movie. This is a story that's been retold a lot. Like, this is the same story as not... Fearless. There's a Jet Li is in a version of this movie.
I feel like Donnie Yen is in a version of this movie.
It's
the same story about this. Yeah.
They kill his master, his teacher, and he then just goes out and just starts beating the crap out of people and eventually killing people to get revenge for the fact that they did that.
Yeah. And, I remember that.
Yeah.
That movie.
And then the ending's great because at a point the cops are like, well, we're going to have to arrest everybody in the school because he's off killing all these people. And he's like, no, I'm here. I'm going to take responsibility for this. And just Bruce Lee's face and the way he delivers just the very like last couple minutes of the movie where he's like, I'm taking this on. It's very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cool pick. I thought you were going to go with the other Bruce Lee movie. That's not really a Bruce Lee movie.
No, that's a honorable mention.
Yeah. Me too. Mine too. All right.
Very
Adam.
Ambiguous.
We'll talk about it at the end. I don't know if somebody picked it, so I don't know.
Number two is starring Bruce Lee's son, Brandon Lee, and that would be Rapid Fire.
Rapid Fire is so it's in my honorable mentions. Is it on streaming? No, it isn't.
I don't think so.
This
is one that I didn't need to rewatch. This is another movie that I watched, and I didn't own it.
Powers Booth,
awesome. But I would rent this movie all the time as a kid. I'm sure I annoyed my parents with how often I wanted to rent Rapid Fire.
Yeah.
This, and I really also liked Showdown in Little Tokyo.
Yes, I just saw that.
Dolph Lundgren. I love that movie. These two, I would rent them all the time. I was a huge brand. Like, these two movies and The Crow, I was so devastated when Brandon Lee died.
Me too.
Yeah.
Just heartbroken.
Yeah.
I loved this movie so much. I saw it in the theaters, rented it all the time. Brandon Lee and Powers Booth. And the other Asian guy who's always playing a villain.
I think it was the guy from Mortal Kombat, I think. This guy had long hair and he's kind of like balding, right?
No. Ji Ma, I think his name is.
We're having the hardest time with these names.
Yeah, I'm...
Worst topic for names.
Yeah.
For name dropping. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. And then, but yeah, no, the guy with the long hair and the balding, he's in it too.
He fights him.
He plays Endo in Lethal Weapon.
Yes.
The one that's doing the water torture.
Yeah. Yes.
With Mel Gibson.
This movie was the movie that kind of like, I thought like, everybody was like, Bruce Lee's son's going to get into movies and blah, blah. And then he started acting and he was good. Like he wasn't like, oh, he was just a martial arts guy who kind of knows how to act. He was good. He was like a good actor.
I don't think his acting was...
I thought it was good.
On the game in this one, but in The Crow.
Oh, yeah.
He went out with a bang. His acting was there in that one.
Yeah.
Like, he's good in this one, but he has some cheesy... I think maybe it's the writing, because he has some really cheesy moments in this.
Yeah.
But it's great. Gratuitous sex scene, just out of nowhere.
There's a really gratuitous sex scene.
Yeah, just like, let's have them have sex.
Yeah.
Because we need it.
Yeah.
But, like, the fight in the coffee shop at the end.
Yeah.
Or the fight when he sees the guy, when he sees the mob boss... kill the guy, and that's like the whole reason why he has to go under police protection is because he witnessed the mob boss kill someone. That fight and that art show when he iconic moment in the trailer when he kicks the guy grabs his foot and then he turns around and kicks him with the other foot and they both fall off the like bridge or whatever in the art studio. Such a fun movie.
My favorite move is when the guy has him and then he does a backflip.
Yeah, grabs crazy backflip.
Yeah. This movie is really cool. Again, it's slightly cheesy, but I thought his acting was good, especially in The Crow, like you said.
Yeah.
Crow has some cool fight scenes as well.
It's got like two endings.
Yeah,
Crow is awesome. I love The Crow. But I just, this one seems like more martial arts centric than The Crow does.
Yeah. Though The Crow has some cool
fight scenes. It does have some cool fight scenes.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's got Ernie Hudson.
And
what's his name? Michael.
The guy with the crazy voice?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know his name.
I forget his name.
He was in The Doors
movie. Yes.
Yeah. So that is your number two.
That is my number two.
Okay. Johnny, do your recap and then do your number one.
Okay. Let's see. I did... What was my first? I think my first was... Was my first Mortal Kombat?
No, that was my fourth.
The
Fighter.
The Fighter, Mortal Kombat, Bloodsport, Rocky. And now I have to do this one just because the acting is so damn good.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Warrior.
Yeah.
The acting is phenomenal. I cried three times. Three times.
Seriously, yeah.
Great movie. Tom Hardy's traps are even a reason alone to see the movie. They're both in phenomenal shape and just doing... I mean, the martial arts is phenomenal in it because they had Greg Jackson, who trains like George St. Pierre and a lot of the top fighters. He did the fight choreography in it. So it's good. It's no. good. And then they have Kurt Angle as the bad guy.
That's right. He plays
Koba.
Yeah. What is he? Russian, I think?
Yeah, Russian. Yeah. I think that's really like Fedor or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
The acting is amazing. That scene in the hotel room with Tom Hardy and
Nick Nolte
yeah. Just blew me away. I mean, there's not much yeah. said. You know, when he's doing the whole thing with Moby Dick.
Turn the boat around.
Yeah, yeah.
Such a great scene.
Such a great scene. And I mean, that movie just is phenomenal.
I wasn't expecting it. When you saw the trailer, you're all, this is going to be a cheesy movie about brothers fighting. No, I'm not going to go see this. I didn't go see it in the theater. And I had to wait until it was on DVD and like everyone was telling me how awesome it was for me to finally see it. And it blew me away. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Everything about it.
And it's funny because the story is like nothing. It's the story's been told before in so many ways. It's kind of like predictable. But the fact that the acting is so good that you forget. For me, I forget that. Like, I forget the story, forget everything. It's just good acting. And like you said, did those guys train before? Like, were they in it for a while?
I'm pretty sure.
No, I mean, just for the movie. Not for the movie. Did they know that Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu before? Were they training, you know?
Oh, you mean the actors?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't think they did.
Tom Hardy must have done something for Bronson.
Because
I thought Joel Edgerton did something, too. Did he? But maybe
he
I'm
looks
wrong.
So
maybe
much.
I'm wrong.
The funny thing about Joel Edgerton is there's a fighter in the UFC who looks identical to him.
Really?
His name's Chael Sonnen, and he fought Anderson Silva before. He's a big fighter, but they look like... I searched on Google, and you can do this right now if you want. If you search Joel Edgerton and Chael Sonnen and it comes up, there's a split picture of him and it's ridiculous. Because I saw it, I'm like, wait, is Chael Sonnen an actor now? And then I was like, no, it's not him. But
and even the supporting cast, the guy who played Joel Edgerton's coach.
Yeah,
Frank
yeah.
Frillo.
And then also the guy Frillo. Who played the principal.
Yeah, yeah.
The principal is great.
Yeah.
Crap.
He does.
You see that? How great is that?
Oh, crap.
Oh, my God.
You know who he also looks like, too? Like Mac from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Mac?
Yeah, that is, I mean, when I first saw it, I thought, I mean, they look identical.
Wow.
That's crazy. Maybe maybe that's why I thought he was a fighter beforehand. Maybe he wasn't. Maybe I just saw him. Yeah.
But, I mean,
like
the acting just, I mean, blew me away. And you're right. I mean, it's a story that people, argued with me when I was like, you need to see this. They're like, no, it's... So they're going to fight each other in the finals. And I'm like, no, you don't understand.
Yeah.
You know.
Everything, just from the beginning, just like listening to like watching Nick Nolte listen to Moby Dick on tape. And it's just really well made. And it's simple. It wasn't flashy. It was just very simply made. And the guy who directed Miracle, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
It was really well done, I thought. And again, Frank Grillo. The trainer, Joel Edgerton's trainer. I think that guy's amazing.
Yeah.
He's in The Gray, and I can't wait to see more of him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I really like the acting. I think the acting is great, but the story was a little slow for me. But the acting and the fighting were cool. Like, the acting kept me through it.
Yeah. And what's his name? Tom Hardy is so jacked. Yeah.
So jacked.
Like, yeah. I'm like, I mean, he must have been training for Bane already because he's just... effing huge.
That's
huge guy. Amazing.
And they just look so... I mean, sometimes even actors, like, you can teach people the technical moves, but they don't look like they're doing it athletically. And they looked both athletic, you know? And it's cool because it was plausible the whole way Joel Edgerton's character does, spoiler, win, is because using, jiu-jitsu skills, which aren't strength-based. And then you have Tom Hardy, who's this guy's obviously
it's just
strong
brute force.
You know, knock someone out, just walks out of the ring, you know.
Ripping doors off tanks.
That great line where he's like, I don't know. I mean, that's a tank doesn't hit back. And he's like, he ripped a door off a tank. That was, love it.
Tom Hardy is pretty amazing. I just watched
Bronson. I just watched Bronson for the first time. And
really?
I don't know why I hadn't seen it earlier.
I still need to finish it. I've just seen like the first maybe hour.
How did you stop watching it? I had to go home.
I had to work in the morning.
I put it on and I was hungry and I was like, all right, I'm gonna put it on and I'll pause it when I get in and I'll go eat something. I couldn't. I was glued to the screen. I was like, I can't stop watching this movie.
I'm
just
so, yeah, I know.
So
I gotta finish it.
Glued me to my seat.
And people were saying, like, oh, what's his name? Nicholas Winding Refn. Like, he's kind of like a one trick pony. No, it's very
not
different.
Very, very different.
Than Drive.
I was totally blindsided by... Because I had seen Valhalla Rising before I saw Drive, and I saw... Yeah, Valhalla Rising, and then I saw Drive, and then I saw Bronson, and wow.
Yeah.
I think Bronson might actually be one of my favorite. Like, I might like Bronson a little bit more than Drive, just because of how bizarre and Clockwork Orangey it kind of gets.
Yeah.
Have you seen, it's the director of Drive, it's his first movie? Oh, no, it's second movie, right?
No, because he did the Pusher trilogy before he did any of that stuff.
It's like a third or fourth movie, but it's... what's his name is in it? Tom Hardy's in it, stars in it, and it's he plays this like convict.
He plays Britain's most famous
convict
prisoner.
Yeah. Wow.
Who like just gets in a lot of naked fights.
Yeah. But he's like a tough like tough
he's,
guy.
He's like he's not quite as ripped as he is in Warrior, but he's pretty fucking built like a brick shit house.
Doesn't he look like Hugo Strange from Batman a little bit?
Kind of a little
bit. Put glasses on him.
Yeah, a little bit.
That's what I thought he was playing. But, no, it's Bane. So where are we at? Where did we leave off? It was Jonathan's number one Warrior, right?
Yep.
So
okay. So my number five was The Karate Kid, 4 The Fighter, 3 Kill Bill, 2 House of Flying Daggers, and my number one Rush Hour. No, I'm just kidding. my number one is Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yes.
Honorable
I went
mention.
There.
Ang Lee.
Yeah.
Was this? Ang Lee had done Ice Storm right before this, right?
Oh, yeah.
He actually went back and did
it.
Okay. Just checking.
Yeah. It's pretty much the same thing as House of Flying Daggers. It's just so beautifully done, and the story is actually, like, good. It's not cheesy.
I feel like this one felt a bit more epic to me than House of Flying
Daggers. Yeah, yeah.
This
definitely,
is like
definitely.
The martial arts gone with the wind.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the one that got me into... martial arts.
I went
movies.
And saw it because it was nominated for the Oscar. I went and saw it on Oscar night that year.
Wow.
And I was just like, oh, so good.
Yeah.
Such a good movie.
Did it win anything?
I don't.
Might have won. Not Best Picture.
It won Best Foreign Language Film.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was really, really, really well done. And it kind of opened the doors for all the other movies to come to America.
The Wachowskis saw this, and that's why they hired Wu Ping.
Yeah. Yep. That's right. For The Matrix.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then they're like, hey, we're going to make shitty sequels.
Yeah.
That wasn't Wu Ping's fault,
though. At
least
so far, none of the Matrix movies have been on this anyone's list.
Yeah. Could have been.
Spoilers.
As long as it's not 3, I'm okay with that.
With the S&M, you mean? The S&M version of The Matrix? This is a really cool movie, and it's got a cool cast. And Ang Lee. This is what I think... This is pre the Hulk, right?
Yes, very much pre the Hulk.
You know what? He gets a bad rap for the Hulk, but
I don't blame him for.
I don't blame him for the Hulk because it was really well directed, and the how they did the panels, the like split screen with the panels, was amazing.
Yeah,
it was really well done, but it was all script. That movie's problem, and I don't blame him. It was really well directed, and I would like to see a good script, a good Hulk movie, because the sequel was kind of crappy too. I thought so.
Well, I mean, the bar had been lowered by the first one, so
that's true.
I enjoyed.
You didn't
the
like the Ed Norton one?
It was good because what he said the bar was so low with the Ang Lee one.
I liked it, but yeah, I guess maybe that's why.
Ed Norton,
I was expecting low.
Yeah,
I had low expectations.
See, I had really high expectations because A was Ang Lee, and it was after this.
No, he's just talking for the second one. Maybe that's why I liked it so much because I went into it with low expectations.
I had high expectations for the first one.
I did
Ang Lee,
and
Nick Nolte,
and Eric Bana,
and the Hulk, and Eric Bana.
I had just seen Chopper.
And
before
is Jennifer Connelly's in that one?
Yeah.
So I was like, this is going to be awesome.
Sam Neill? No, not Sam Neill. Sam Elliott. Sam Neill. He's a Dr. Sadler. But yeah, no, it was cool.
All right, so is it your turn,
Ricardo?
My number one, we've already talked about.
You can do your recap?
Yeah, okay. So my number five was American Ninja. Number four was Hard Times with Charles Bronson. Number four was two movies. It was Way of the Dragon and Fist of Fury. Two was Red Belt and one Bloodsport.
Okay. My number five was The Last Dragon. Four was Ong Bak. Three was The Shaolin Temple. Two was The Chinese Connection. And my number one, truly inspired by Kill Bill, is Lady Snowblood.
Ooh.
I
already.
I love this movie, and I love this movie because of the plot. It's the character is born. Her mother has sex to just so she can get vengeance for the fact that she was raped. At the beginning of her story, her mother and her husband and her little son get attacked by this group of four people, and they kill the husband, they kill the kid, and then they rape the mother. And then one of the guys takes the mother and keeps her as like a sex slave, and she eventually kills him, goes to prison. And so to get revenge on the other three people, because she's going to be in prison for the rest of her life, she has sex with as many guards in the prison as possible so she can get pregnant, so she can have a child that will go off and get vengeance on those three people for her.
Wow.
And that's so, how Lady Snowblood is born. That's her whole life, is to get trained to get vengeance for her mother. And so as a little kid, she's getting trained by her uncle to learn how to kill people so she can become a mastered swordsman and go off and get vengeance for her mother. And it's amazing. It's got...
Why aren't we watching that right now?
I don't know. But the story is great. And then the fact that so your whole life is to get vengeance. What happens after you do the vengeance? You've been trained just to be a killer.
Then you become the Dread Pirate Roberts.
Exactly.
Yeah. I see that.
But it's great. And the girl who plays Lady Snowblood, Meiko Kaji, she's great. I mean, there's times when she's getting cut up, and just the look on her face of determination as she's just going to kill whoever gets in her way is awesome.
What year was this?
It was 1973.
Is it on Netflix?
It is not on Netflix.
I want to watch this movie. I want to watch it right now.
It's awesome. And it's the movie. I mean, anytime someone gets stabbed and you pull the sword out, the nice blood spurts that Quentin took, I mean, it's derivative straight from, if you read about like where he derived some of his ideas from, it's one of them was Lady Snowblood, and he ripped the song straight out of the main theme song is in Kill Bill.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
He tends to do that.
Well, it sounds like if they ever do make the third one, there will definitely be shades of this if it's with Nikki or Nikia or whatever her name is.
The interesting thing is one of the people she has to get vengeance on has a daughter, and she lets her live, and that person comes back later in the movie.
There you go.
Wow. Now you put a movie on our list to watch. Seriously.
Check it. It's awesome.
You bastard.
Okay. So to recap, my number 5 was Lone Wolf McQuaid. My number 4 was Bloodsport. My number 3 was Last Dragon. My number 2 was Rapid Fire. And for number 1, I have a tie. Enter the Dragon from 1973 and Dragon the Blue Leaf Story from 1993. Because whenever I watched one, I had to watch the other growing up. This was the Bruce Lee movie I could always go back to because it was the one that I knew what it was. And I didn't have to worry about what the title was. It was Enter the Dragon. You got John Saxon, Jim Kelly, and Bruce Lee just fucking shit up.
Yeah.
And the crazy mirror scene, which is totally... that makes me think of the Avenging Force again.
Yeah.
They totally rip off the end, the end of Enter the Dragon and Avenging Force. I just love both of these movies. I love Bruce Lee. I thought Jason Scott Lee did an amazing job playing Bruce Lee in Dragon. And again, Enter the Dragon is a very Americanized Bruce Lee movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where it's especially that strong blaxploitation element with Jim Kelly. And I love John Saxon, who's also actually a martial arts expert.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. He has a black belt probably in a couple styles by now, but back then he did. And I love both these movies. They're both, I mean, Enter the Dragon is an iconic Bruce Lee movie, iconic martial arts movie.
Yeah, I wouldn't say Bruce Lee movie because that's the thing that. It's not a Bruce Lee movie.
That's
the thing.
It's like to true Bruce Lee fans.
Yeah, I don't claim it as my movie.
But for my list of clearly Americanized martial arts movies, it is the iconic. Like it's the one that people think of.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Like if you tell somebody, oh, have you seen a Bruce Lee movie? 9 times out of 10, they've seen Enter the Dragon. Yeah, which pisses me off.
What are you gonna do? And then just Dragon, I love that movie. Everything they talk about in that movie, all like the history of Jeet Kune Do, all the crazy stuff with the ghost that's like cursed his family's name, the crazy fights. I remember playing the awful Dragon video game.
Was it Super Nintendo or Nintendo?
I think so. I think they had it on Sega too.
Yeah.
Just such a ridiculous movie. Jason Scott Lee, and then Lauren Hawley as
Linda Lee.
Yeah.
Linda Lee. I love this movie. And Robert Wagner as the guy who like
he's the producer of
agent who like screws him over for Kung Fu.
Yeah, he gets David Carradine.
Yeah,
jerk.
I love both of these movies. I watch them all the time. And again, whenever I watch one, I would want to put the other one in right afterwards.
Yeah. Do you know who directed this?
Who directed this one?
Rob Cohen.
Ouch.
You're a Fast and the Furious guy, dude. Oh, you don't like Fast and the Furious. You like
Fast Five.
Fast Five. That's right.
I don't have Fast and the Furious is Point Break with cars. I'm okay with that.
It is. Yeah. Yeah.
I like Point Break. I like Fast and the Furious. I like Fast Five.
Yeah.
I'm okay. I have resigned myself to the Fast and Furious franchise.
I've always said that
they're entertaining the Fast for the, what they are.
The Fast and the Furious is Point Break with cars.
Yeah.
And Galaxy Quest is Three Amigos in space.
In space.
it's a good choice. It's a good choice. Again, like I said, just to me, it's a very Americanized Bruce Lee movie.
Yeah, these are the movies that I grew up. This is like my foundation of martial arts movies. Because I know some crazy martial arts people are going to be like, why don't you have any Jet Li movies?
Yeah. Why don't you have Sonny Chiba movies?
I don't have Sonny Chiba movies. These are the ones, like when I was a kid, this is what like formed my ideal of just the badass martial artist guy. Especially Jim Kelly's fucking badass.
He is.
In Enter the Dragon.
And there's a gratuitous sex scene in that too, isn't there? From what I remember. Doesn't Jack
not
Jim
nearly
sex
I mean
that?
Compared to Rapid Fire.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's not quite gratuitous.
Not quite gratuitous.
It's an it's a very like it's 70s movie? It's
yeah, 70s
yeah. sex scene.
A very 70s sex scene.
Yeah. So let's go to the honorable mentions then. Let's see how many movies you have.
This could take a while with honorable mentions. Especially now that it's opened up to things beyond just kung fu. Or because I mean, if we're gonna go up to like boxing, I want to have like
Blood Eater.
No.
Yes,
I was gonna. If I had known that boxing and bare knuckle boxing, Every Which Way But Loose would have been on my list.
Wow.
They're fun movies.
Yeah.
You got Clyde.
Yeah.
He fights too.
That's true. That's true. So let's start with your honorable mention, Jonathan.
I had one on there that I saw a while back. I'm trying to remember everything about it, but I remember just loving it. I need to rewatch it. Vision Quest.
Vision Quest. Was that with Jonathan Brandis? No?
Matthew Modine.
Matthew Modine. Yeah, I was totally
Jonathan
wrong.
Jonathan Brandis. Are you thinking of Sidekicks?
I'm thinking of Sidekicks. Yeah.
Which is an honorable mention for
me. What is Vision Quest again? What is it again?
It's about this kid going through his whole his high school wrestling season.
Oh.
And it's about the crazy training he goes through. And he's like, literally could also be titled How to Not Cut Weight.
Yeah.
Because it was like, he cut so much weight, his nose starts bleeding. And like, it was I don't know, motivational in more than just the martial arts way. It's just the work ethic this kid had.
Yeah.
And it was great. I loved it. Actually, Eric Edwards was the guy who turned me on to that.
Oh, really?
Like, you need to watch this film if you're into grappling. And
I need to check it out.
Yeah.
Were you into wrestling in high school or no?
No, I played water polo in high school. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, you're from California.
Yeah, such a California. I had like long blonde hair too. I was really like...
Is
California?
You guys don't have water polo?
No, we don't even have pools at our school.
Really?
We had to go like across the city to go to the pool with the school at the pool. We all go to the same school that has the pool.
Why is that? You missed out.
I can't swim, so I can't say anything. I don't know how to swim.
So no water polo for you.
Yeah. No.
Can you ride a horse?
I'm like I don't.
I can do regular polo.
I guess so.
Oh, nice.
I would always get, because old people, like, they'd see me wearing like my jacket or my water polo park, and they'd always go, how do you get the horse in the pool? And they'd think they were like the first person to tell me that, and I'd be like, really? Thanks.
I had friends who played water polo, and I heard that joke quite
always. And like everyone who tells you is the type of person that thinks they're the first one who's telling you.
Yeah.
They're always the person who's like, I'm the jokester.
Did you have water polo jacket?
No, I had the... Okay. Oh, the long... Oh, I thought you were like saying the long trunks. No, I had the long jacket, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember those. You could always recognize the water polo people. They had the
furry
cool
ones.
Yeah. Got to keep warm. Because we Californians aren't used to...
Exactly.
Right.
You're like, it's chilly.
It's
70 degrees. I was actually supposed to play a tournament in Canada, but I had to choose between that and testing for a pilot.
Really?
Chose testing for a pilot. Pilot never got made.
Aww.
Canada's still there.
Yeah, no, I'm a dual citizen, so I can go back.
Oh,
whenever.
There you go.
Yeah.
yeah.
So you were born here, right? You were...
Yeah, my dad's from Montreal.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But you were born in California, right?
Yeah. My dad was born in a refugee camp after World War II in Germany. And then moved to Canada and is a Canadian citizen still.
Wow. And you have dual citizenship.
Yeah.
That's pretty rad. I wish I had.
What's your passport look like?
Actually, I got to keep the same passport, but I literally went over to the consulate or whatever and signed like two pieces of paper. And they're like, you're Canadian.
Did they give you some maple syrup or something?
Yeah, they did.
Some poutine.
Yeah. That's pretty rad. Yeah.
Poutine, maple syrup, and a box of 10 bits.
Yeah.
Eight.
There you go.
So it's cool. I mean, it's like, I'm, you know, representing both parents, so.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Dig it. Dig it. So okay. You just had one movie in your honorable mention?
That was the one. I think Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon was on my honorable mention. Forgot to
awesome.
Hell yeah.
Mention that. But yeah, that was, I mean, besides that, Vision Quest, great movie.
You just reminded me of Sidekicks. I thought it was Sidekicks, but it wasn't.
I loved Sidekicks.
Sidekicks was great. Yeah.
But again, it didn't fall in my, it wasn't quite badass enough.
Yeah, that's true.
Because it's like a little bit watered down Chuck Norris.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, not as bad as Top Dog, though. So.
Yeah. Well, he's back. I heard he's the reason that they made Expendables 2 PG-13.
Aw, it's really? PG-13?
Yeah, because I think it's some sort of religious thing.
What? He does in plenty of rated R movies.
Yeah. I know.
And what was the first one?
He had plenty
of
sex scenes. It was R.
No, it was
R.
That's why it was good.
Like heads chopped off and blood splattering. And
did you guys see Rambo, by the way?
Yes.
The last Rambo?
Yes.
How was the blood?
I saw that in the dome.
It was awesome. We did too. Yeah. We probably saw it the same day. We're like, hey, dude.
I feel like we did run into each other that day.
We might have. Did we have a bag of like candies?
Because we had a lot of food with us.
I don't remember that. I feel like I told Brian that I saw you guys
bag
at Rambo.
Of candy.
You snuck in a trash.
Well, and it's like $10.
I worked at the movie theater at the time. Yeah. So.
He used to work. I remember we once, because Kevin used to work at the ArcLight. We walked in with a box of pizza. I remember that once.
Yeah, nobody would question
us. Nobody cares. Yeah. Speaking of ArcLight, I'm still sad about ArcLight got taken off the movie pass.
Yeah.
I still love MoviePass, though. I'm sticking with MoviePass.
Jonathan, have you heard of MoviePass?
I have not.
Adam, tell them about MoviePass.
Tell me about
MoviePass. MoviePass is like Netflix, but for movie theaters. So you pay a subscription fee, and you can see basically any movie in the theater, as long as it's at a theater that's affiliated with MoviePass.
Now, how many are affiliated? Like, are there a lot? Like,
the Lemley.
I saw your face over there. He's like, oh,
it used to be more.
They just lost ArcLight and Pacific, but the Lemley theaters still are. Okay. What else is? I don't know. Like, the Vista is. Mm-hmm. They have a list. Like, I think Krikorians are and Edwards are.
The Vista, that's the Los Feliz one, right?
Yeah.
Okay, the Vista and the Los Feliz 3. There, so.
Yeah. Okay, that's my neighborhood. So yeah. Both of those theaters are on it. And so you print out a thing, you take it, and it's $30 a month. Well, right now, their prices might be changing. Because this was beta testing. They weren't accepting any new subscribers. It's awesome. You just, okay. 30 bucks a month, and you can see a movie a day.
Can you... Does it come with one for a date? Like, can you?
That's a good idea.
That is.
They do. They just came out with a couples one where it's two at the same.
Yeah.
Two at the same time.
But does
I'm
it
not
have
sure
to be like
works.
Under their? Like, yeah. Because I'm going on a lot of first dates.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying.
I gotcha.
And
I like what you're putting out. I like. Hey, if you're a pretty lady out there, Jonathan's going on first date. A lot of first dates.
A lot of first dates.
Yeah. Hit him up on Twitter.
And you want to have a free movie pass for that because you don't want to pay for a date.
Okay,
no,
that sounds terrible. No. Now you're making me sound mean, but no, I just love seeing movies.
Yeah.
And
they should have guest passes. Yeah. You get like two guest passes a month or something. Yeah. They should do that.
I think movies. Now that we've opened the arena for that, I think movies are such a cool first date because sometimes you're nervous and you don't want to talk a lot. And you're like, well,
exactly.
We can hang out for 4 hours and 2 hours we're not going to talk.
Yeah. And then after you go to the movie, then you can go.
Then you have something to talk about.
Exactly.
Talk.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, it's so awkward.
Yeah.
Especially out here because everyone just wants to talk about themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, you know, nothing else is really going on. I'm talking about me and you're talking about you and.
Well, and then you've got that good. You've got the good litmus test after the movie. It's like, all right, well, that sucked, but did she like it?
She liked it. Then
you ask her first. You have to ask her before you say anything.
Yeah,
you'd be like, "How'd you feel about that movie?"
Yeah, and then she's
and then
like,
you know.
"This movie sucked," and you're like, "Oh."
Or the worst is the non-opinionated people. People just have no opinion.
Okay,
you're like,
yes,
"Well,
okay.
What did you think?" Like, no, that's the worst for me. Yeah. I just want to know what you think. I don't want to tell you how you think.
Yeah.
Or. You know, give me no answer on that.
Or they'll give you the, it was right.
It's all right. It's like, well, what was
that mean?
All right about it?
Yeah. Well, what didn't you like about it? If it was just okay, then what didn't you like about it? And it was like,
it's fine.
Why do our dates sound like Jay Leno? yeah. So I think that's a very cool first date. And again, if you're still nervous after the movie, yeah, at least you have the movie to talk about.
Yeah, you have the movie to talk about. You've got a topic. As long as mutual topic.
Don't
yeah.
have to see like really, 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 like, you know, like the romantic comedies I'm not huge on.
You mean The Vow?
I'm trying to think.
Okay, no, I had to see.
That wasn't as painful.
And, like,
as
I mean, like, I don't want to, you know, be mean about this. I had to see 27 Dresses once, and that's not really my.
Any Catherine Heigl movie.
Totally. Well,
any yeah. Catherine. There's only one Catherine Heigl movie I like, and it's Knocked Up. Yeah.
That's it.
That's about it.
Maybe it's too much for baby ears over here, but it rhymes with Smishmortion. I love that line.
I want to take her to the Smishmortion clinic.
I forget how funny those first like Judd Apatow movies were.
Yeah.
And then he had to do Funny People.
Yeah. Well.
But still, I would totally work on Judd Apatow.
This is 40 could be fun. I mean,
no,
it's
yeah,
return to form.
Yeah, yeah. And it's an unofficial sequel to Knocked Up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Katherine Heigl's not in it.
Yeah.
Cha-ching.
Hey-o.
Megan Fox is in it. Hey-o.
Which is a weird change.
I'll
you, Jenny immediately is like,
I'll watch
I have
anything.
An opinion on her. Can you tell?
She's good looking. I'll look at her thumb all day.
Yeah, she's really pretty.
Yeah.
If nothing else, you can watch it on mute later.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There you go.
Just put on my own music, my own soundtrack. You know what's cool? To me, it's funny.
What's cool?
Is like take like okay movies or crappy movies. Like I just saw Transformers, and I put it either in French or in Spanish with English subtitles. It sounds amazingly funny, dude.
Is that because I accidentally put on Family Guy in Spanish the other day?
I had already done this before.
Okay.
But we discovered Family Guy in Spanish,
really
which is awesome. The funniest thing ever.
Funnier than Family Guy?
I think
I think it's funnier than Family Guy because I know what they're saying because I know Family Guy so well. So okay. You know what they're saying and then it's like you don't need subtitles because you already know.
How do you say peanut butter jelly time in Spanish?
I haven't seen that episode.
Oh. Yeah, we haven't gotten to that episode.
I never took Spanish.
It's a song. Songs are just English.
Yeah.
No songs in any other language. No.
Dubbing is so weird because it really never sounds like the person at all. Like, no. I swear, every movie I've done, I've been dubbed by a girl.
Really?
Yeah. So he's like, ah. I'm like, I don't sound like that. Please tell me I don't sound like that. And it's always like a girl. And
really?
Yeah. So I had to watch something I did once with a German interviewer, and I'm like, I don't sound like that. just so you know,
I don't sound like a girl
because it was like really high pitched.
There's this guy who does the Shrek movies, and he's a really famous comedic Mexican comedic actor, and he does a lot of the voices for Shrek, and he actually does a lot of rewriting for the movie, so it matches, so it translates very well. Where a lot of movies will just do the exact translation, and some of the jokes, some of the comedies lost in the translation. Mm-hmm. This guy actually rewrites, and since he's a comedic writer, he's actually he does really well, and they turn out really well.
That's cool.
How funny can it be though? It's a Shrek movie.
Yeah, I know. Well, they're actually that's funny. You know what? It's funnier in Spanish. To be honest, yeah, it's funnier in Spanish.
I liked Shrek the first time, and then it got old really fast.
Yeah.
So, Jenny, what else is on your honorable mention?
Oh, I pretty much everything named and everything I had was already named, except I really, really liked Kung Fu Hustle.
Really,
I loved Kung Fu Hustle. I think. It was just like the people I saw it with, and it was just like hilarious. And we were just, high school, so it was just like our comedy. And it was hilarious, and it changed my life.
I take my kicking ass seriously, so I did not like that movie.
I love Kung Fu Hustle.
I didn't like Kung Fu Hustle. I really liked Kung Pao.
I didn't see Kung Pao.
It's so, because that one's just so stupid. Yeah. So I love how stupid and cheesy and ridiculous it is. And Kung Fu Hustle, like, it's just a weird movie to me. Like,
it's so dumb,
dark
but awesome.
And dumb at the same time.
Yeah,
I love it.
Whereas,
okay,
Kung
did you
Pao
ever watch? Did you ever watch? What was that TV show on? I want to say it was on Spike. It was like, but it was it was like MCX.
The Extreme Ninja.
Most Extreme
Ninja. Yes.
Or was it Most Extreme Challenge Show? Or something?
MXC.
MXC was what I thought you were saying.
Yeah, maybe that's right.
Really excited.
It's three letters.
Is it the one that's like really similar to, like, now they have Wipeout and it's kind of similar.
Yeah, but it was funny because it was dubbed in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It made no sense.
It didn't make any sense. Yeah. She was like, the people would go up there to do their stunt and they'd be like, I have a cat. Yeah. And then they do their thing and you're like, what the
I know exactly what show.
Yeah. It's like most extreme challenges.
Yeah, that's, yeah. Okay. And so I was super into that when I saw Kung Fu Hustle. And so it just like made it that much more funny because it was like the same type of like stupid comedy when with dubbing. I don't know. It was awesome.
That show was really funny. Really funny.
I wish it was still on.
And I wish it was still on. I wonder if we could find it on Netflix.
I know, or on demand. Yeah.
We got really excited about that. Why?
I love that show.
My honorable mentions are, none of you mentioned it, Best of the Best with Eric Roberts.
I don't remember Best of the Best.
With the deuce, man.
I don't remember Best of the Best at all. Like, even like even trying to rewatch, I'm like, I don't remember any of this. I remember the end of the movie. And I feel like I remember the end of Best of the Best, too.
Really? The one where it's Chris Penn? He dies in like the first 10 minutes?
Dude, spoiler alert.
It's Best of the Best 2 is a little bit like...
I don't remember those.
I don't want to spoil it. Well, again, Best of the Best 3, he's got to fight Aryan Nation.
Goddamn Aryan Nation.
I'm telling you, dude.
Always back to the Aryans.
Always fighting the Kung Fu guys. So those basically... Oh, and the other one that that is on the list, there's going to be a few people out there that are going to fucking love this pick of mine. It's a very obscure 80s movie. It's from 1985. It's called Gymkhana. And it's this cheesy 80s movie where this guy, they decided like Kung Fu was in. And it was kind of, they're like, we got to mix Kung Fu with something. And they're like, we've got to mix Kung Fu with a gymnast. And it was gymnastics karate. It was called Gymkhana. And he goes to this like Eastern European country. And they like kidnap, he's kind of sent by the CIA. But all this guy knows is like how to like be a gymnast karate guy. And he's got to fight.
I've heard of this before, actually.
I think I've showed you the trailer. Okay. It's amazing.
And I have a friend named Jack who is a gymnast. Like he did gymnastics. And I think he's really into this movie because he was like a gymnast in high school. Isn't that? And I feel like he's like super into this movie.
It's so random. And it's called Gymkhana. Check out the trailer on YouTube. Gymkhana, guys.
Gymkhana.
And the poster is this American guy in like, you know, like a gymnast outfit, like kicking two ninjas. But there's no ninjas in the fucking movie, man. I was so disappointed.
I love it when they do that.
It was just like these group of villagers in Eastern Europe.
Why was he picking on Eastern European villagers?
Why were they fucking with America is the question you should ask yourself.
Okay. I gotcha.
So it's a very like B version of American Ninja that has nothing to do with ninjas. But the poster lied to me. That's basically it. Best of the Best, and that's it.
Okay. I have 13 Assassins, 5 Deadly Venoms, the 36th Chamber of Shaolin, and Fearless.
Yeah. 13 Assassins was one of our streams of the week.
That's what I went and watched it.
It's pretty cool. Pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
Takashi Miike.
Okay. I've got Blind Fury. Do you guys remember that movie with
Rutger Hauer? Yes.
explain the blind guy who was taught karate by the Vietnamese village that took care of him when he was
a POW.
When he was abandoned by Terry O'Quinn in Vietnam.
Yeah.
When he was blinded by a landmine.
Oh, man.
Yeah. It's a great.
He's like Daredevil, basically.
Pretty much. He's Daredevil.
Yeah.
But it's like just weird, cheesy 80s humor.
Yeah.
Love it.
And he's got a sword, right?
Yeah, he's got a sword. And his walking cane has a sword in it.
Yeah.
You should go watch that trailer right
he's
now,
like, ding, ding,
and then you
want
to watch.
He's like, "What the hell, dude? Just cut me, man!
Oh, I forgot to put my cap back on my sword. I
forgot to sheath my sword."
No, he knows. His other senses are heightened. I said Strip Ninjas. I was serious. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah,
yes. Oh, yeah, yes.
All three. The time travel in part three is amazing.
I'm okay with all. I mean, again, it's a nostalgia factor. So even as bad as they are,
with Sam Rockwell, part one.
Yes. Yes.
God, that still gets me.
You haven't seen that part.
I keep forgetting to rewatch it because after you said it, Sam Rockwell was in it. I have yet to see the scene again.
I need
what,
to rewatch.
What part is he in?
At the end.
Well, no, he's in the beginning.
He's a couple scenes. Yeah.
He's one of the foot soldiers, like underlings, who's like indoctrinating the kids in to the foot.
He's a recruiter.
And, like, they're like,
he's a recruiter.
Hey, you guys should come join us. And like, you guys got cigarettes? He's like, regular or menthol?
Yes.
He's not, because to be a foot soldier, then you wear the outfit. He's one of the guys that doesn't wear
outfit. Yeah, he doesn't have the outfit.
He's a civilian still.
Yeah.
And Sivvy, he's not been indoctrinated. I said Showdown in Little Tokyo.
Yeah. There's a sex scene with Tia Carrera, I think, in that.
I think so, yeah.
Which I think is a body double. It's a body double, I think.
And that's the one.
Really?
I think so.
You think she would do it.
It's just such a crazy badass movie. Yeah. Oh, she does it later. I think in My Teacher's Wife.
Oh, she gets naked?
Yeah. That's with one of the... the twin brothers, Jeremy and
London?
Jeremy Jason. Or Jason, one of them is in this.
Really?
Him, Tia Carrera, and Chris McDonald.
It's on my list.
He's the teacher whose wife it is.
Mm. We're like the human Mr. Skin.
I don't know what you're talking about. That sounds dirty when you say it like that. Also,
the human
Mr. Skin. Sounds like a that's, I don't know about that.
There's a few people out there,
and
who get it.
The one Steven Seagal movie that I watched all the time because it has Gary Busey
Under Siege
and Tommy Lee Jones.
I just
in
saw
it.
This
Under Siege. I watched it all the time, and it's. Again, another. I watched the sequel a lot too because Eric Bogosian is in it. I watched the Under Siege movies more for the other actors and less for Steven Seagal because he's just kind of weird to me.
What's her name's in part one? The
Erica
girl,
Elianak?
Yeah, she shows her boobies in that.
She does. She's hiding in the cake.
Yep, and she gets hopped up on drugs and she falls asleep in the cake.
Yeah, well, I think they do that on purpose so that she's not there when they take over.
It was a plot point in the script.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I remember that plot point.
Tommy Lee Jones is that.
Is the crazy leader of the band playing the harmonica, and then he loses his mind after the 21 guns or whatever goes off. The huge cannons. But yeah, all the first Steven Seagal movies with the three word titles that all blend
Marked
together:
for
Marked for Death, Hard to Kill, Above the Law, Out for Justice.
Yeah,
they all blend together. It's just
it's one
exchange
movie.
The bad guys. Yeah. It's like first you got Italians, then you got Cubans, then you got Jamaicans, and then Italians again.
But All
and William
all the
Sadler.
Time?
William Sadler's one of them also.
He always fights with the ponytail.
Well, until Under Siege when he cuts it off.
He cut it off of that, right?
Yeah. Well, because he's in the Navy.
Yeah.
I think even the cooks have to have. Well, and he's a cook. Yeah. A Navy cook better not be having his long hair up in my food.
Yeah. Well, he's not
up
really.
Up in your food?
Spoiler alert, he wasn't a cook.
Well, on the ship he was.
Yeah,
he was,
he's the personal chef to the captain.
I thought if you cut off his ponytail, it was his power. I thought.
Just like Chuck Norris now, if he cut his beard, his mustache.
And this is one movie that making this list made me remember an amazing, like through all the Michael Dudikoffs, this was another movie that was on USA Up All Night all the time. Ninja 3, The Domination.
Oh.
Do you remember this movie?
Where he takes over her body, right?
Yes.
Yes.
The ninja dies and transfers his spirit into this gymnast. Okay, so this movie is The Exorcist meets Flashdance with ninjas.
Yeah.
That's
it's an amazing movie, guys.
It's not. I watched it before I came over here. I mean,
is
amazing.
Is it on streaming?
It's on YouTube. The whole movie's on YouTube.
I'm going to watch it, dude.
Ninja 3, The Domination. So bad. But so amazing. So
have
amazing.
Have you seen Ninja 1 and 2, by the way?
I haven't.
I want to see
I've
them.
Never. Well, they have nothing to do with this one. Because I read up about it. Each of the movies has nothing to do with each other except they have ninjas in them. And it's like a Golden Globus movie. And just like low budget. Most of everything happens in the day in broad day. Like it's the worst setup for a ninja. It's like, how do you be a secret ninja assassin hiding in the shadows when you're killing someone in the bright of day on a golf course?
Yeah. So explain to the people who haven't seen it what Ninja 3 is.
Okay, so Ninja 3, The Domination is about a ninja assassin who is killed by the police, and then as he's dying, also, the rules of being a ninja are just crazy in this movie. It's like, apparently, ninjas are, like, practically invincible.
Yeah.
And the whole, it's all predicated on only a ninja can destroy a ninja. And so,
it's
before,
like Highlander.
And it came out before Highlander, so Highlander probably stole some ideas from Ninja 3, The Domination. And as he's, like, his spirit is leaving his body. He transfers it to this aerobics instructor.
His like she's soul.
She's an aerobics instructor / telephone operator or telephone worker. And she starts, his spirit starts using her to seek revenge on the cops who killed him.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous. And, like, there's a part where they go see an old Chinese man to, like, have her
exercise
the demon. It's just, it's amazingly cheesy. And random scenes that make, like, somehow they had a laser machine. Like, we have to find a way to incorporate this laser machine in the movie. So there's just this random laser show moments. It's amazingly
Isn't
cheesy.
A lot, I remember there being a lot of nudity in this movie.
There's not a lot of nudity. There's a lot of people in spandex because it's 80s
Maybe that's
aerobics.
Thing, yeah.
And, oh, okay. The thing that I really did not remember at all, the lead up to the sex scene, which you don't actually see. There's no actual sex that you see.
Well, you saw the YouTube version. So.
No, but it's unedited.
Really?
Yeah. They have, like, I watched Forced Vengeance on YouTube,
oh, wow.
Unedited. Yeah, so I don't know how they do that, but it's there. And now that I said this, they might take it down. Maybe, well, I don't know. YouTube doesn't listen to this.
You just screwed up. You just screwed us.
Someone else will upload it. Yeah. But she pours V8 on her, like, and she tries to be sexy,
oh.
But she, like, opens her shirt up and she pours V8 down her neck. And that's the lead-in to having sex.
That's how she's seduces the guy.
V8 is so sexy.
That's
though.
The lead-in.
You know what I want? Tomato juice.
All over you. Yes. Don't even give me just a glass. Just pour it all over yourself. Yeah,
make sure it's V8. Don't give me none of that generic stuff.
Or V8 splash. No, no, no. That's too.
That's too fruity.
Well, this is like 84. This was 84. They didn't have V8
splash.
It
didn't exist yet.
An amazingly bad movie. One That's of the best awesome. Worst movies.
I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah.
I totally forgot about that movie until you reminded
it's
me.
It's crazy.
There's ghosts. There's ninjas. There's vengeance. Is that it? Is that all your...
That's all of them.
Okay.
That's, I mean, we don't need to list all the Van Damme and Chuck Norris and whatnot movies. I grew up watching all of
them. I celebrate all of Van Damme's catalog.
All of them.
Yeah. Actually...
Even knockoff.
I took Van Damme's birthday off last year with my friend Brandon. I'm not joking. Well, I didn't work that day, but he actually took it off. He didn't
That's
go to
dedication.
Work, and we just watched. I mean, he was in Fargo.
Sounds
but
like a Van Damme good time.
We both kind of. it was a Van
That's
Damme
straight
time.
Out of that's ripped right from the Double Impact trailer.
Wow,
Van Damme. Where they use Van Damme as like an adjective before everything. It's Van Damme this and Van Damme that.
It's no Hard Target. John Woo's first American film. But anyway, that's it for the list. Now let's throw out some links. You could find us on the interwebs at thelistfilmpodcast.com or on Twitter at the film podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then Johnny, where can people find you?
JLipNicky on Twitter. And also my website, JonathanLipNicky.com. And there's also a Facebook fan page that the lady who runs my website made.
Oh, nice.
So any of those places, I do respond on Twitter. I try really, really hard to get to every single person.
Yeah.
So talk to me.
Yeah. He said it out there. Talk to him. So you're going to get
Let
a lot of...
Let him take you on a first date.
I know.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're local and you're a hot lady, hey, you contact us and we'll set it up. And yeah, so... I'm not sure, but we might have some cool trivia for next week, and we'll figure that out. We'll figure it out. But that's it. And then you can find me on Twitter at Ricardo, ULTRERES.
I'm at Janae. That's JEHNEIGH.
I'm at an Adam Scott, AN_ Adam Scott.
And I'm at KZuberBeer. That's ZUBERBIER.
That's right.
Why do they all have like crazy names where we get to spell them?
No,
yours is easy.
I did not spell mine. LIPNICK. No, I always okay. I got a package from like the East Coast, and it was made out to Johnny Lanucci. I don't know how they got it wrong, but they always get it wrong.
Well, it was your Italian counterpart.
Hey, Lanucci. You know, like, I don't know. Like,
that should be a character.
I'm gonna make Johnny Lanucci a character now, but. I always get that, like, people trying to, you know, pronounce my name and doing a terrible job.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's technically pronounced Lipnitsky.
Really?
Because it's Polish, but, I mean, no one pronounces it that way, including my family.
Yeah. So, what is the spelling of it, your Twitter?
Okay, my Twitter is JLipNicky, so JLipNicki.
Yeah, it's pretty self-explanatory. It's pretty simple.
I know,
it's not
pretty,
like crazy.
I mean, it's you phonetically think. Right.
Yeah,
I don't get
yeah.
why people always get it wrong, but it would be like I'd be at school even when I was in high school and they'd call me to the office or whatever and they'd be like, Jonathan Lip... come to the office. It's like they couldn't get it.
It's like if you have a certain number of consonants in your name, yeah. they just immediately blank out. Like if they're not repeating yeah. consonants.
And I just say, oh, it's Lip and then Nikki. Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's that bad. But then again, it's my name.
I don't think it's that bad either.
Yeah.
Well, I'll throw this question out there as the trivia question, and I'll say what you want on the next episode. But basically, all you have to do is be a resident of the United States of America. You can't be from, like, you know, Eastern Europe. I'm not going to mail anything to Eastern Europe.
With that Gymkhana again.
I know.
You're just picking on Eastern Europe.
I know. I'm sorry. So if you live in the continental U.S. and you answer the trivia question correct, you'll get a cool prize. I promise it'll be really cool or really cheesy. But
Gymkhana poster?
Well, we'll see. We'll reveal it next week. But the question is, and it has to do with Jonathan. Jonathan has done a M. Night Shyamalan movie. If the first person who tweets us or emails us or Facebooks us what that movie was, the title of that movie, you get a sweet prize.
Yeah.
So Jonathan Mnicki, M. Night Shyamalan.
It's true. It's true.
So the first person to tweet us or anything. So Facebook, tweet, or email will accept. You will get a cool prize. You must live in the continental U.S. again. All right? Okay, thanks again for our guest, Jonathan. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you guys for having me. It was a blast.
And hopefully you'll come back. Awesome. Do another topic. And that's it for this week. Hope you have a good week.